Well, here in the Bay Area, more communities are starting to put mandates in place, anticipating the full approval of at least one vaccine. That includes the city of San Francisco. Today in the Bay, Sierra Johnson joins us live in Palo Alto this morning. One city ready to make vaccinations actually mandatory for some workers. They're not the only one, Sierra.
Yes, good morning, Marcus and Laura. That's exactly right. We're getting closer to the FDA fully approving one of those vaccines. And as we get closer, many of the communities are looking to mandate the use of those vaccines. And we're going to start by discussing the one city where I am right now, Palo Alto. They've been discussing making it mandatory for the city employees to, in fact, get vaccinated. Now, in a closed-door session, city council recently discussed making vaccines mandatory for city workers ahead of the reopening of in-person services at City Hall. Now, vaccines are already mandatory for Santa Clara County workers. So far, no decision was made on this specific issue, but we will, of course, continue to follow any developments coming here out of Palo Alto. Similar conversations taking place in Walnut Creek. Walnut Creek's mayor took to social media to share the city of Walnut Creek will require all of its employees, contractors, and volunteers to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 by August 16th. Now, those not fully vaccinated will be tested every week. Those refusing to comply could face disciplinary action, starting with a warning and ending with unpaid leave or termination. And up north in San Francisco, where all city and county employees are required to report their vaccination status and be fully vaccinated 10 weeks after a vaccine is fully FDA approved, some of those employees are pushing back. Now, NBC Bay Area has learned that nearly 200 city workers say they will not get vaccinated unless their demands are met. This includes proving that the vaccine won't give them COVID-19. SF Human Resources says about 103 of those letters came from employees at the fire department. Now, we did talk with a firefighter who wants to remain anonymous. He says he's prepared to walk away.
There's been no talk of any compromise. It's you do this or you're gone. And that's very unfortunate, and it saddens me to have to leave this job, but I will.
And we also have been speaking with union leaders for the sheriff's department. That department says they have about 150 members prepared to leave because of that mandate. So as you can see, a lot of counties looking into this vaccination mandate and a lot of folks also pushing back. We'll continue to follow the story on both sides as this all progresses. We're live in Palo Alto, Sierra Johnson for NBC Bay Area News.
Every person who walks through the doors of San Antonio's Audie Murphy VA Medical Center gets screened for COVID-19.
Hello, welcome back. Okay. Any COVID symptoms in the last 3 days? Anybody at home? Okay, so if you want to go, you can.
It's part of a systematic approach to prevention that VA has honed since the start of the pandemic. But now VA leaders have a new tool to prevent infections, a vaccine mandate for more than 100,000 of the agency's health workers. VA Secretary Dennis McDonough blamed the Delta variant, which has shown itself to be highly transmissible and may lead to more severe infections.
Given that our veterans have more complicated healthcare situations, I think that it's my responsibility to do everything within my power to ensure that when they come into a VA facility, they can have confidence that they will be safe and not be exposed.
The mandate affects doctors, dentists, nurses, physician assistants, and certain specialists. At Audie Murphy, there are about 1,300 of them. Valerie Rodriguez Yu is the nurse executive. She says the mandate makes her feel validated.
I don't know that it makes me feel safer, but what I will say is that I feel supported by the Veterans Health Administration as a whole in taking this step forward to say this is, getting a vaccine is that important to us as an enterprise.
Rodriguez Yu has been on the front lines of several COVID-19 surges. She says healthcare workers have witnessed the worst outcomes of the virus and faced extreme emotional and physical hardship. So she struggles to wrap her mind around why some refuse to get the shot.
It is frustrating to know that there are healthcare workers in this organization who have chosen to not get vaccinated because that's the only way that we can really protect our staff and protect our veterans.
Audie Murphy leaders have ordered staff members to report their vaccine status. They can also request a religious or medical exemption. Medical Center Director Chris Sandals says he's gotten a few messages from skeptics on staff, including an anonymous comment on his in-house blog.
The employee made some comments about the vaccines either not being effective or, this being something Big Pharma was trying to push on the community, not something I would expect to hear from someone that worked in the healthcare field, where we're expected to speak truth, use data and science.
Sandel says he doesn't yet know how many of his healthcare workers are unvaccinated, but he thinks it's a relatively small number. He says he'll continue to do what he's always done, provide employees the latest CDC guidance, give them vaccine safety information, and make sure they know how to get shots.
It's difficult for us to encourage those that we care for to get vaccinated if we ourselves aren't willing to do it.
Healthcare worker unions have been fairly quiet about the mandate. National Nurses United says it supports mandatory vaccines as part of a bigger public health program. The American Federation of Government Employees, which represents the largest share of VA workers, encourages vaccination, but suggests it should not be a condition of employment. Air Force veteran Charles Moore, who was outside the San Antonio VA after a doctor's visit, says he's vaccinated, but doesn't think it should be required of VA's healthcare staff. He worries that requiring vaccines will force healthcare workers to quit and bog down the system.
I hope that the VA make the right decision about this matter, because they do have some great employees, and like I would hate to lose any of them.
Frontline VA healthcare workers have until mid-September to comply with the mandate. If they have a qualifying exemption, they may be moved to areas of the medical center that aren't high risk. I'm Carson Frame in San Antonio.
Turn our focus upward now, how COVID is causing turbulence in the airline industry. United Airlines is the first to require COVID vaccines for all its 67,000 U.S. employees. They remain the only major carrier to do so, but it does join a growing list of big businesses, Walmart, Google, Tyson Foods, that are requiring workers to get the shot. United CEO Scott Kirby met with President Biden yesterday to discuss the pandemic response, and Mr. Kirby joins me now. Very good to have you on the NewsHour. I wonder if you could just walk me through a little bit of the, in your thinking process, the pros and cons as you weighed them about this decision.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's great to be here. I'd start on the con side. It's the same thing that leaders across the country are still wrestling with. Worried about attrition, worried about a tight hiring market, worried about the public reaction, the employee reaction. All of those things are real and legitimate risks. But on the pro side, it's about safety and about saving lives. And the reality is, the fact is, that you're about 300 times more likely to die if you're unvaccinated. And once you have that statistic in your mind, at least for me as a leader, that trumps everything else. It trumps all the cons, it trumps all the risks, and really leaves you with no choice but to require the vaccine.
I know that some employers in states and cities that have made this requirement offer an option. You can get the shot or you can submit to random regular testing. Are you doing that option?
We are not. And the reason we aren't, because at United Airlines, we always say safety is our number one core value. And we say it, we mean it. And that's much better than not requiring the vaccine, but it's still a compromise on safety. There's no question that people are safer if everyone is vaccinated. And we don't compromise on safety at United Airlines.
You mentioned that one of the cons might be possible blowback. Have you received any blowback? Like, what has the reaction been?
I've been pleasantly surprised at the reaction. There are certainly some people that have strongly held views and oppose the vaccine requirement. And I respect their views and respect that perspective. But there's a much larger group of the population that surprised me at how enthusiastically positive they are and appreciative that we were willing to take this step and make this decision for everyone. And so my email inbox, at least from employees, has run about 10 to 1 in favor. Now, again, lots of people that are really strongly opposed, and I accept that, but more people that support it than are opposed to it.
Does that surprise you? Because we have seen such hesitancy about mandates. As I mentioned, there are businesses that are doing this. There are states. But does that reaction surprise you?
It did. I mean, it pleasantly surprised me, but it surprised me because you hear about the vaccine hesitancy and you hear the people that are passionately opposed to requirement. What you don't hear from are all the people that are more of the silent majority, I think, who really think this is important. And what's been meaningful to me, and some of I've gotten a dozen of those letters that are very personal because they talk about losing a loved one. And so it means so much more to them because they've experienced that actual loss. And that's meant a lot to me to get those emails from Floyd.
Anyone that has been on an airline knows that there is no more crowded workspace than inside of an airplane these days. Do you wish that you could also get your passengers to follow a similar mandate? Would you encourage or promote that idea that in order to get on a plane, you have to prove a negative COVID test or prove your vaccine?
Well, first, I'd say an airplane, amazingly enough, despite being crowded, is the safest place you can be and be around other people in an indoors environment. It's really because of the airflow on an airplane and the fact that it's refiltered through HEPA grade filters 20 to 30 times an hour. And so it's literally the safest place you can be and be inside on other people. So while I feel good about the safety on the airplane, I think everyone in the country should get vaccinated. I think it's unlikely that here domestically there's going to be a vaccine requirement. I do think it would require government directives to make that happen. I think that will be common. It already is common internationally, but unlikely to happen here in the United States. But I think the right thing for all of us across society is for everyone to get vaccinated, put this in the rearview mirror, and get back to living normal life.
Well, what about random tests? I know a friend just came back from Spain. He had to demonstrate that he had a negative test within 3 days before boarding a plane. Would you be in favor of something like that for all your passengers?
Yeah, again, I think it's unlikely that we would do something like that. And random tests in particular. Testing when you have this much of an outbreak in the country, you know, is really an indicator of what's been happening in the past instead of something that's forward-looking. We have a solution to this crisis. You know, we finally have, you know, the silver bullet that worked. And the silver bullet is vaccines. And we should stop fiddling around the edges and we should just all get vaccinated and put this behind us.
I hear what you're saying, that you did this for a health and safety reason as the principal reason. But do you think that this gives you a competitive advantage? Meaning, are we going to see United ads or banners saying, I don't know, fly the vaccinated skies?
Absolutely, unequivocally not. I do not want this to be a competitive advantage. I hope every airline in the country winds up doing this. I think ultimately they will. We started thinking about it a little earlier. It's the right thing. It's not just about airlines. It's for all corporate America. I hope all leaders will do the same thing and follow this. This safety should never be a competitive issue. Safety should be figure out the best practice and then help everyone get to the same point.
I'd like to ask you about a slightly separate issue, which is we have all seen these examples of airport and airline staff being harassed and assaulted at times. From a management perspective, do you feel that you're doing enough to protect your people from this chaotic, dangerous behavior out there?
Well, I've seen a lot of the news reports, but I would say at United Airlines, you know, our mask incidents are down 50% compared to the start of the year. Our in-flight incidents are lower than they were in the pre-COVID era. And that's because we've worked closely with our flight attendants. We have an amazing group. The union has been supportive, really worked on the training and given them the tools and the standard operating procedures to help de-escalate situations and avoid having things escalate. So at United Airlines, like, we don't have zero issues, but we don't have anything unusual happening at United. It's really a testament to the professionalism of our flight attendants that we're in a different situation, I think, than what you see a lot of the reporting at some other airlines.
All right. Scott Kirby, CEO of United Airlines. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The story you hear a lot about in retail is devastation from the pandemic. Major chains going bankrupt, lots of people losing jobs. But lately, something quite different has been happening. At the same time that retail workers are quitting at a record rate, stores are hiring on an unprecedented scale. NPR's Alina Selyuk has been tracking this and joins us now. Hey, Alina.
Hello.
Okay, so first let's talk about the workers who are quitting. Where are they going?
Well, we know that they have been quitting at that record pace you mentioned for several months now. June, that was over 600,000 people. And lots of workers say they've simply had enough. They've been working on the front lines of a global pandemic. They've been policing people to wear masks, dealing with testy customers. Anecdotally, many folks who've quit retail have gone to other customer service jobs, works at call centers. But historically, we know that the top destination for most people leaving retail is a different job in retail. And this is the thing that jumped out at me from the new Labor Department data that we got this week. It shows retailers hired over 1.1 million new workers in June, a record hiring spree.
Wow, that is a lot of new workers. So what stores are doing all of this hiring right now?
Well, a lot of it is the giants that thrived during last year, like Walmart, Target, various grocery stores. And here's a thing that you might not realize. New stores are actually opening in the pandemic. We've heard a lot about bankruptcies and shutter shops you mentioned, and there are still thousands of stores closing. But here's John Harmon from CoreSite Research, which tracks all this.
For a good part of the year, the number of openings was greater than the number of store closures.
Quite a few retailers are expanding. Lots of discount stores like Dollar General and Burlington, also Foot Locker, Aldi, Sephora. Many stores are sort of re-envisioning their spaces, turning them into hubs for deliveries or shipments, for example. Or in Sephora's case, they struck a deal with Kohl's to have stores inside stores.
Interesting.
Compared to earlier predictions, fewer stores are closing than forecast and more stores are opening.
That is so fascinating. Okay, well, we've also heard a lot about wages going up for retail jobs. Is that encouraging workers to stay in retail, you think?
I think to some extent, yes. To be clear, there are still over a million job openings in retail. So you've got companies like Best Buy and Kay Jewelers raising starting pay to $15 an hour. CVS has decided it would no longer require high school diploma for some entry-level jobs. Also, signing bonuses are all around. Some workers might be jumping ship to perhaps go from one store to another store to take advantage of that extra sign-on money.
So it sounds like there are some really good new options out there for people working in retail, yeah?
Retail is the top employer in the U.S., and it is also one of the lowest paying industries.
Right.
Wages have been so stagnant for many years that even though we are seeing pay grow faster than ever before, we're still talking, for grocery store workers, for example, less than $15 an hour. Meanwhile, inflation is erasing the buying power of those new raises. I talked to Heidi Shierholz, an economist at the Economic Policy Institute, and she says if this was a big change that's giving workers new kind of long-term power, wage growth would be much higher. And she worries over time, wages might simply get frozen again while prices continue rising.
That is NPR's Alina Selyukh. Thank you, Alina.
Thank you.
People often become frustrated in their jobs. Many hate them. Others work so hard that burnout becomes unavoidable. But prior to the pandemic, most of us soldiered on. The idea of hard work is kind of built into America's DNA. But the pandemic flipped a switch inside a lot of folks. Working from home or being unemployed for a while provided people with a new perspective. They reevaluated their relationship with work. And now, a lot of people, and I mean a lot, want a healthier work-life balance. They want more flexibility in terms of work hours and location, and they want more money. As this reexamination has taken place, soldiering on has ceased to be an option for many, so they simply quit their jobs. In April alone, according to the Labor Department, 4 million workers walked out the door. And a recent Microsoft study found that over 40% of the global workforce would consider leaving their jobs this year. This is being called the Great Resignation. Now, before you consider joining the ranks of those participating in this movement, spend this hour with us. If you're an employer facing an exodus of workers and wondering what you can do to stave it off, spend this hour with us. We are joined by Rachel Feinzig, a work and life columnist at the Wall Street Journal. She is our returning champion. She was here a few months ago when things were looking better in the COVID world. Rachel, welcome back. Thanks. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Letitia Bird is a career coach and the CEO and founder of Bird Career Consulting. That's a talent development and consulting agency here in Charlotte. Letitia, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
And Susan Peppercorn is an executive and career management coach, contributor to the Harvard Business Review and Fast Company, and the author of Ditch Your Inner Critic at Work, Evidence-Based Strategies to Thrive in Your Career. Thank you for being with us this morning from Boston.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Rachel, let me begin with you. In your capacity as a work-life columnist for the Wall Street Journal, you write about all kinds of things involving work, from dating the people you work with to getting tattoos and going to work with the company's logo on you. I know that you have written about this from the employer's perspective, and I'm assuming that you've also, in your reporting, have talked to a lot of employees about work attitudes changing in this COVID pandemic world. Have you talked it over with employees who are thinking about or who have decided to quit their jobs? And if so, what do you think is driving this?
Yes, I've talked to a lot of employees. It's funny, I actually wrote a column about this last summer when the mood was totally different. I was switching jobs. I was staying at the Wall Street Journal, but I had gotten this opportunity to be our work and life columnist. I was a reporter before. And for me, I was overwhelmed with kind of the family aspect of this. I had lost my childcare. I didn't know how to take on a new job. And so at that point, I wrote a column. I ended up taking the job and I decided that would be my inspiration for my first column. And so I talked to people who had been laid off, who had kind of had a perspective shift in the process, who were also struggling with work and family questions. How do I take a new job when I don't even know if my daycare is going to stay open? And at this point, the conversation, a lot of it has shifted. Obviously, the world has changed so much, but so much of it, I would say, is still about kind of that perspective shift, that kind of almost being shaken awake. What am I doing with my life? Where do I want to be? Do I want to be closer to family? Do I want to spend more time with my kids? I just think a lot of people are really rethinking their lives.
We have always had job churn in the workplace, Susan, people coming and going all the time. And in this pandemic, even those people who did not get laid off, those who kept their jobs, witnessed the pain and suffering of those people who did get laid off during this pandemic. Given that, I'm wondering about what it is about this pandemic that has caused so many people to decide they're going to move on, sometimes even without something to go to.
That's absolutely true. And I think this pandemic has really caused a lot of people to rethink their priorities. This pandemic has been hard on so many different levels, from people dealing with the stress of childcare, as Rachel said, to worrying about loved ones who might have been affected by COVID, and realizing that for the first time when we were working at home, and spending more time with families, that maybe the way we were working before was not the only option that we had. And I've seen in my coaching practice and working with people who have been laid off and also people who have decided that they were going to leave what they were doing, that they were questioning the way it was not the way that it had to be. And so I've seen people decide that they were going to change locations, move out of cities to be closer to family, and people who said that they were not going to commute long distances anymore because they realized that their priorities had changed and they were just not going to accept how things were because their priorities were different.
A part of this reevaluation, Leticia, is also coming from people who are taking a good hard look at their boss and maybe the company that they work for and thinking to themselves, is this really how I want to live my life and be treated? You have said that this past year has been telling for how companies really value their workforces, and it became, you say, challenging to continue to work for companies that operated as though this were business as usual without taking into account how lives changed overnight. Are those companies in the majority or in the minority? And have they, over the course of this pandemic, have some of them that were in the in the group that wanted things to continue as normal suddenly had to shift their policies and change their minds?
That's a great question. I think that there are a lot of organizations that have essentially had to really take a hard look at how they need to and want to retain their employees, just given the nature of how, you know, life and work has changed significantly overnight. Whereas there were organizations who were at first saying, hey, everyone needs to come back to the office by this date. Based on the reactions and responses from their employees, some organizations have seen a mass exodus. They're starting to retract that and think, okay,
how can we do this in a more, you know, effective way for our employees? I think at the end of the day, people want options. They want the option of choice. And so no longer can organizations force employees to do things. The job market is so competitive right now. And I think that there are so many people who are looking for not only more flexibility, but also more money and more satisfaction.
We've kind of talked about this idea that businesses have to change to accommodate the changing ideas of their workers, for lack of a better title. And we talked about this years ago with regard to millennials wanting certain things in the workplace that their predecessors would never have thought to ask for and would never have presumed to ask for. But now that's what they want. And by God, they're going to get it, because if they don't, they'll just go someplace else. Has this, Susan, sped that up? Has this put this all into a much sharper focus? You've got to make accommodations for your employees. And if so, in these companies that have hundreds of thousands of employees, you can't have different rules for everybody.
So to your first point, it absolutely has sped things up, because companies that are not responding to employees' requests for flexibility and a greater need for communications are going to find themselves on the short end of the stick. Employees are demanding not only greater flexibility, not only more money, but they're requesting a cultural shift, which means they want greater cultural responsiveness to themselves as individuals. And that means that employers at every level in the organization really have to communicate what their cultural values are. And this means that from the top down, they have to be able to communicate that employees are important to them. They're not just cogs in the wheel to produce revenue and profits and to the bottom line of an organization. And those companies that are not responding, and I agree with what Leticia said, it, you know, for large organizations, this can't just happen overnight. They have to be able to process this change and figure out how to do it. But they have to be able to communicate that this is something that they're doing. Otherwise, employees will leave.
Rachel, NBC reports that during the initial stages of this pandemic, a lot of people who were planning to leave their jobs or considering leaving their jobs actually stayed put because everybody was out of work and they didn't want to join their ranks. But then the economy began to reopen and a lot of people started acting on previous plans to leave their jobs. Is there any way to know how many of the people leaving, and 4 million people left, as I said, in April, were those who had delayed plans to leave versus how many people had used the time during this pandemic to reevaluate things and made a new decision to leave, Rachel?
I don't know exact numbers, but I think it's a really big chunk. The professors that I talked to said that if you calculate kind of the difference between what we historically expect to see, you know, the amount of turnover every month and what it was for all of those months of the pandemic, that there's this kind of like wave coming, right? And a lot of that was represented last spring. So I think it's actually a decent chunk of people who kind of had planned to leave anyway. And that may have also been exacerbated by this feeling of being stuck during the pandemic. People weren't being promoted. They weren't getting the raises they want. So it could kind of be a combination of those things.
Leticia, I don't know if you can answer this question, but in your own practice in terms of consulting people, how many people who are thinking about leaving their jobs right now or who have left their jobs during this pandemic did so because they reevaluated, they took this 18-month period and really took a long, hard look at things, versus those who just delayed leaving because of the pandemic and now think the time is right to jump ship?
Yeah, I can definitely answer that question. I have a coaching, online coaching community for women, especially women of color, over 500 members. And majority of those members have been looking for work. I think if you really look at the last maybe 18 months, not only were we dealing with a pandemic, right, a global health crisis, there was also a really unhealthy political climate. There is also other things just in the social space around police brutality. There is a higher climate in terms of racial relations. And so because of that, I think there was a combination of factors where I saw a majority of my clients really evaluating, does my organization truly care about me, right? Also, Rachel brought up a really solid point about organizations not giving their employees raises, promotions, putting career growth on hold essentially because of the economy. So not only were many of my clients feeling a bit excluded, a bit devalued, but they also wanted to find organizations that really would value them for what they were actually offering to their employer. So I think that one, they were already thinking about leaving at the beginning of the pandemic. And with the job market picking back up, they are most certainly looking for opportunity. So I think it's a combination of things.
A former employee of Whataburger in Fort Worth is suing the restaurant after she was fired for wearing a Black Lives Matter mask. At the time, Whataburger said it was simply enforcing its uniform policy. But the woman says it's about her right to freedom of expression. Here's Scott Gordon.
It happened during the height of last summer's racial protests. Micaiah Conjus worked at the Whataburger on Brentwood Stair in Fort Worth and wore a Black Lives Matter mask. When a white customer complained, she says her manager told her she had to wear an approved generic mask.
For one, I'm not going to be quiet. Not for Whataburger, not for anybody.
She tried to quit but was fired. She recorded the conversation with her manager.
You know what? We accept it and you don't have to come back at all.
The manager called police. Now, a year later, Conjus is filing a lawsuit against Whataburger, claiming racial discrimination because other employees were allowed to wear other masks that were not part of the official uniform.
Our world last year was really going through a lot as racial things that was going on. And I didn't see too much wrong with it. I'm a Black African American. My lives do matter, and so do the other lives do too, such as my son.
Conjus just now started working at a fast food sandwich shop. She says they have no problem with her wearing a mask.
Don't nobody actually know how we feel until they actually in our shoes.
She says part of the reason she filed the lawsuit is so that her one-year-old son will grow up in a better world.
He gonna look back on this and say, wow, okay, now I get it.
In Fort Worth, Scott Gordon, NBC 5.
We reached out to Whataburger today for a response to the lawsuit. They did not answer our email. But when the incident happened, Whataburger said it supports racial equality and was just trying to enforce its uniform policy.
So they support racial equality, just got uniform standards. Black Lives Matter. Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, August 13, 2021. So I have been told. This is our weekly segment, Neutralizing Workplace Racism, not for spectators. This broadcast, again, trying to solve problems without creating new problems. Lots of confusion that we are dealing with worldwide with everything that is happening, seeming changes by the hour, by the minute with COVID-19 and the vaccines and all the rest. So if folks have figured out some strategies that you think may help other non-white people, victims of white supremacy, solve problems in their work environment, if they're working from home or they're back in the office, hybrid, if they're so-called self-employed, if you figured out a few things, do you think saying this, doing this, not saying this will be to your benefit on the job? It'll help get you a raise, maybe help get you a hybrid situation, whatever it is. If they're mistreating you, calling you names and such, will help you deal with this, you know, vaccine thing if you want to take it or no. Whatever. If you figured out some tips, codification, strategies that you think would benefit other victims, let us know. The number 720-716-7300, the code 564-943, pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. The number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Wow, we had a few segments. A few quick words on those, and then we'll nap. Callers, email. Oh, forgot the email. UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Just like it sounds, no crazy spellings. Feel free to drop a line if you are not able to dial in during the live broadcast, but you still have a tip, suggestion, or if you have a question and you would like us to attempt to give some counter-racist logic to help process whatever it is you're dealing with your work environment, feel free, drop an email. We'll read it on the air, keep it anonymous, and do our best if it is a question. So the audio segments that we heard now, the first portion of it, lots of it was dealing with these mandates, vaccine mandates, that is. You heard from United Airlines where they're saying, hey, employees, it's going to be vaccine is mandatory. We're not doing any sort of, you know, well, if you don't want to be vaccinated, you have to be subject to random tests and all that. Not doing any of that. If you're going to be employed here, you are getting vaccinated. And there's been more of those types of reports for different work environments, healthcare workers, city employees in like New York, San Francisco, other major cities are starting to say, yeah, employees have to be mandated. Schools, they've been saying that more and more, saying teachers, other educational staff, you have to be vaccinated. I don't know if they're going to do the same type of a thing where they're going to say, hey, you got to be vaccinated, and that's that. We're not doing any sort of, if you don't get vaccinated, you have to be tested every day. No, vaccine, or you're out of here. And especially with schools, I forgot, colleges, universities, many more of them have been saying, oh, yeah, got to be vaccinated if you're going to be on campus physically this coming fall, which is literally like weeks away, days away for some folks. And I think they've already had some Supreme Court challenges to all of this where they said, it's all right. You can do that, especially in a global health crisis. If a school wants to say students or faculty, whomever, has to be vaccinated to be on campus legally, they can do that, which I thought the courts would say. So lots to discuss, process there, especially if you're a parent or even if you're just an employee and you're in this environment and trying to figure out the best way to proceed. But it does look like increasingly many more people will be in work and school environments where they might be required to be vaccinated. Maybe even no option of, well, I just got to test every day and temperature and might be a requirement. So definitely, if that is you, let us know. Like, are you just saying, hey, I'm going to do the vaccine thing and that way I don't have to worry about all, or I guess to some level don't have to worry about as much? Are you in an environment where you can say, I still have questions or concerns about the vaccine, I don't want to do it, and you know, I can still be on my job and just do the testing or whatever? Let us know how all that is evolving, because that is so different depending on which region you're in, because some regions they've already said we're not doing any vaccine mandate. Some regions they've done the opposite and said we got to do mandates. In fact, you got to have proof of vaccination just to be out in your free time, much less on the job. So lots of variance within that report. Now, we also heard the segments where they were talking about people working from home in this environment, the people that have changed their jobs up. I would say lots of folks, we talked about this for a while. If you use this time to ponder, think about what is your life supposed to be about as a victim of racism in a system of white supremacy, what is my life supposed to be about? Is this job the end all be all of my life? Man, if you use this time for those purposes and have switched careers, changed up how you're using your time, energy, life force, life currency, phenomenal. That is spectacular. Mr. Fuller talked about that last year at the beginning of all of this, like really making some serious changes and evaluating what we are doing with our lives, with our time and energy. Spectacular. And many of us in a system of white supremacy on jobs that are horrible, where we're not being compensated well, and it's not like they're nourishing our career growth at all. So hey, spectacular change to be made. thought it was significant as well. They talked about in that segment the number of people who may have been frustrated with their job situation already, lots of victims, and this encouraged it. And then people trying to make sense of the new situation in terms of, well, is, you know, am I going to have childcare, and what's the school situation going to be like? So many people have talked about that over the past 18 months, so much disruption. There has been so much disruption for so many areas of people activity that has impacted their job situation, where it's not per se that people on the job were being rude or that they didn't want to work there anymore. It's just, man, I don't even know what's going to happen with my children or other family members or what's going on, and that I need my time and energy to kind of get all of that figured out. So it's been quite a bit over the past 18 months in terms of workplace disruption. They, in that same segment, they were talking about being in a workplace and saying, hey, these millennials and more folks now, since it's tighter work environment, tighter labor market, as they say, more folks are going to make demands that this is what they want in the work environment. They want it to be hybrid, or they want this for things to be safer in their workplace. They want to see what type of values the company shows. Now, hey, they can do all that lip service about Juneteenth and, you know, not in our name with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and all the rest. We didn't vote for Trump. You know, he's a no-count scoundrel, that Trump. You know, they can do all of that, but that doesn't mean anything substantively. I don't know. And if you are a black person personally, I wouldn't even be worried about that. I would expect, I don't even know what corporation you could point to and say, oh, yes, this is one. Their corporate values do not support white supremacy racism. I have no idea what that would look like, what company that would be, even if it was a company started by and ran exclusively by non-white people. I have no idea how such a setup would work, what the product would look like, how they would not be vested in and supporting white supremacy directly, indirectly, in not just one way, in a myriad of ways. But that would not be something I would be concerned about. It would just be more about my treatment and how they treat other employees there, especially non-white employees. What are my opportunities for nourishment, growth in this environment? Is this going to be a safe work environment? Those would be the type of things I'd be concerned about, not, you know, what are their corporate values? I would assume their corporate values are white supremacy racism. That's all the corporations, McDonald's to, you know, Enron, whatever you want to think of. The final segment, audio segment that we heard, at least today, where they had the young lady, black female, victim of racism, and she worked at Whataburger. I've never eaten there, but I've seen a bunch of them. And she said she had her mask on, and it had Black Lives Matter, and they said, yeah, you know, can't wear that. And then she tried to quit, they said, and they ended up firing her and calling the police. Now, I mean, it does not get any better than tacky. If this is all about a mask, we're in the middle of a public health crisis and you're wasting resources and officers' time to come out here because we've got an unruly nigra with an unsanctioned face mask. So we need K-9 and SWAT down here right now. Are you serious? Like, that's, in my opinion, that's the sort of thing that they should be thinking of. Like, hey, don't they have, isn't that a crime in some jurisdictions now? You're wasting police officers' time to snitch on a black person who's not even committing a crime. I guess they could say trespassing, but I mean, really. If you're going to terminate her over the mask, no problem. But this is not a, we need a police escort to get her out of the building, put her in the shackles. She's going to steal ketchup packets, you know, on the way out of whatever. Like, get out of here. It doesn't get any better than tacky, trashy, terroristic, 3 T's, you already know. Now, all that said, I've said for a long time on workplace racism, I said, hey, the work environment, this is not the place. I'm going to go through my closet or my drawer and pick out all of my political buttons. You know, I want to get all of my buttons about being vegan and protect the chickens and don't eat the pigs. And we got enough bacon and pig flatulence and waste flooding North Carolina and all the rest of it. And don't let me get started on George Floyd and gerrymandering and all the, I mean, hey, that's all great and everything. You do not need to wear pins and posters and all of that while you're going to work. I don't care what your job is. If you're the CEO, you're part of the custodial staff, it doesn't matter. This is your job. This is not your time to promote your political views. And quite just like what happened with this young lady, I mean, hey, if you're working with individuals classified as white, these folks you should be thinking are racist. So they come in and they see Black Lives Matter. Is this wench in here working on fries with a black lot? I'm going to show this wench something, right? That's what you should be thinking. Like, these are not your homies. They're not going to see you. And they, wow, that Gus is so progressive and political. I mean, even on the job, he's back there in the deep freezer and mopping and scrubbing and got that toilet looking spick and span. But he's still, he got his people on his mind. That's not what they're thinking. Who told that coon to come in here with a Black Lives Matter button on? That's what you should be thinking. And in fact, we had a person some years back. They said they called in and said that they went on their job. Said, yeah, I'm going to wear my Nat Turner University t-shirt. I just put it in the form of a question. What problem are you trying to solve wearing the Nat Turner University t-shirt, the Black Lives Matter face mask? What problem are you trying to solve in your work environment, because that's where you're wearing this item? What problem are you trying to solve without creating new problems? That's so important, the last portion of that. Without creating new problems. Now, just like this young lady at Whataburger, you asked for this job. I don't think Whataburger was out with a flashlight and we gotta have this black female specifically. You gotta come in here and work this job. We need you. Whataburger is not gonna make it if we don't have you in the store right now. I don't think that's how it happened. You asked for this job, so let's keep it until you're ready to move along. One of the ways I've said, hey, your wardrobe, I'm not wearing anything that's calling attention. I even said with like jewelry and hair and everything, I'm not coming on the job to look cute. This is not my fashion spread. Like, unless I work at a boutique, some sort of designer clothing store or something like that, I'm not coming to show out. I don't need everybody to tell me how fly I am. And oh wow, girl, you got your nails done. This is the third time this weekend. I'm not interested in any of that attention about my face mask, my hair, jewelry, clothing, nothing. Any of that attention is just going to be gauged towards mistreating you. And if anything, if they see your hair and it looks too nice and you did get your nails done three times this week, or you do have a Black Lives Matter mask, or you do have some nice jewelry, what? Are we paying this nigger too much? Did this nigger get a new car and a new pair of shoes? Like, that's the type of thing that it's going to be. And we've heard this from a litany of victims, males, females, children. No, you know, what do they call it? Unauthorized masks. No political statement t-shirt. Don't ever wear the cow's shirt to a work environment. Regular t-shirt. In fact, I've said even be as non-distinct as possible. I said get like five pairs of the same blouse or slacks, whatever it is. So you're just wearing, it looks like the same thing every day. You're clean, that's why you get five different pairs of them, but it just looks like you wear the same thing. I don't sit at home, and it took me 5 hours so I could come in here and look sharp and impressive. You all are co-workers. I'm professional, I'm clean, but this is not where I'm coming to show out in any way, shape, form with my clothing. Let's see, we'll do one email and move along to the callers. Untiljustice@gmail.com. Okay. Got confused. I have too many tabs up. One more time. There we go. All right. Workplace racism. Bang. Number one. All right. First one. This is our victim of racism. So she called us last week. So she was, I guess, what did it, requested, offered her to come do this lecture on nutrition, obesity. She was not going to be financially compensated. They said, we'll give you access to the Yale Law Library and you can put it on your resume. Now, I think we had some folks, because she was asking, you know, should I do this? You know, because they do a lot of this, get black people to come and give like some presentation. This is supposed to be like 45 minutes. and do it for free, and then they'll have a white person do it and they'll pay them well sometimes. I think I said last week, like, hey, if you have experience doing lectures and you're compensated for this sort of thing often, no need for them to try to beat you out of a free lecture. You're good. If you don't do this sort of thing and you want to get some practice at public speaking so that you can be hired and show people like, hey, I've done this, you know, I'm an accomplished speaker, go ahead and do it for the practice. And you can get some, you know, access to the Yale Library. I enjoy that sort of thing. So this is the update this week. She writes, I decided to decline the lecture. I definitely agreed with the callers and listeners about gaining experience. However, here are my reasons. Number one, no compensation. That's a big one, really. You can stop right there. Yale can afford to pay a professional guest speaker a few hundred dollars. Absolutely. They have monies for honorariums, especially anything if it's going to be a presentation. They'll have like hundreds of dollars set aside just for like hors d'oeuvres, like real talk, like just to go get bagels and cream cheese and grapes, you know, just to have a little bit of snacks and what have you. Get some artesian water to go with our baguettes this morning. So, yeah, they could have compensated you easy. Two, I plan to stay in my RN position for at least 15 years. I have a pension and I have worked as an RD for over 12 years. The resume update is not helpful. Right on. Number three, I have done lectures before, and I don't plan to start lecturing as a way of earning income. Don't need the practice. We talked about that last week. Number four, the library access would not make sense for me because I don't have time to read it due to my family and work obligations. Logical. Number five, I also work for a hospital system that I can probably get access to their library. Excellent point. Number six, I literally started gathering material for it with my 6-month-old in my arms. I decided it would definitely take my focus off my attempted mothering. Didn't we just hear that in the segment? They said this whole situation over the past 18 months has made a whole lot of people. Man, wait a minute. What am I supposed to be doing with my time and energy? Am I supposed to be working on some goofy lecture for white people on my job who don't care about me, who aren't even willing to give me a nickel for all of this? And I got my daughter in my hands right now, 6 months old, needing my attention. I'm breastfeeding and everything else, and I can't even be focused on her. What am I supposed to be doing with my time and energy right now? Super important. Number seven, most importantly, I want to practice declining and saying no to things. It's okay for me not to do everything. Awesome. I think that's really important beyond even the workplace, because I think for so matter of fact, that's in Renethia Tate. She was with us earlier this year where she wrote in her book Pieces of a Puzzle that many of the rapes and sexual abuses that happen with white men and non-white females, she was talking about black females specifically, they'll happen frequently, especially in a work environment, because we have been trained you cannot decline, say no to a white person under any circumstances, doesn't matter what it is. Matter of fact, we heard that Terry Crews said that. He's a black male, a huge black male, big hulking muscles just ripping everywhere. Got muscles in his big toes. And like, I think he's like 6'5", enormous black man. I think he might have played professional football. And he said he was sexually assaulted by a white man and scared. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Presumably he could have beat this person down. But what am I going to do? Oh my gosh, this is a powerful white man. He's grabbed my genitals. Declining, getting practice, saying, having the black self-respect, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, to say no, especially about things with your time and energy. It is totally fine to say no. Bravo. She concludes, on another note, I plan to get my first COVID shot today, the Pfizer version. That's 2 shots. I'm not, and she has not in bold face print, I'm not excited about this. New York is giving out incentive to get the shot. Oh, that's right. Oh, Governor Cuomo on the way out, I think. I live thousands of miles from New York, but I think it's like $100, I think. This is their last maybe carrot attempt to get the stragglers, vegan RD, to go ahead and do the jab thing. So I think it might be $100. And they got the other end of it. I think New York is one of those regions that have been saying, like, oh, yeah, you got to be vaccinated if you're trying to go out to the gym and the bar and all the rest of it to get ready for football season and all that. Proof of vaccination or get on out of here. You're going to be staying in the house. So lots of reasons to do so in New York City. I choose a site where the incentive is an option. Well, that's good. If you got to go through all this, I think you should get all the goodies and resources that you can. Thank you all for the input. Appreciate the form. Much obliged. Happy attempted mothering, attempted counter-racism. And I'm sure the folks on your job, knowing race soldiers in the workplace and how they try to take advantage of black people's time and energy, I'm sure they're going to come back and try to beat you out of some more time and expertise soon. Like, hey, we got another workshop and we got something else. Do you want to come and lead this virtual meeting? So I'm sure you'll get other opportunities to practice both saying no. And even if you want to switch it up and try it out and say, I'll do this one, you'll probably get that chance as well. So, yeah, outstanding. Great job. Excellent use of counter racist logic. What is more important with my time and energy? Beautiful. The email is untiljustice@gmail.com. We'll nab some more emails as we go. Let's see. The number is 720-716-7300. Decode 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Folks who dial again now, if you have codification, if you have some updates on what's happening in your work environment with the COVID-19 situation, hybrid work situation, I know I'd encourage folks, still encourage folks, really, ask if you are one of those folks where you could. It's absolutely possible that you, maybe even some of the other folks, could be at home for some of the time, 1 day, 2 days a week. Ask, even if you only get 1 day, that's better than, you know, what you had before and having to be there all 5 days per week. Let us know how the work environment is changing. If they're talking about you're going to have to be vaccinated for your work environment, let us know. All of those real important. And even the school component, I forgot about that. If we have folks, if you have offspring that are either going to school, maybe they're starting out as freshmen or they're going back wherever they are in that process, make sure you have sat down and spoken with them in detail about whatever your expectations are and whatever you would like to see them doing to keep themselves safe for the upcoming, whatever it is, quarter, semester, you know, wherever you are. But if you have done that, I think that is so important because they're saying, you know, the Delta variant, and there's so much confusion about what's happening right now, really on so many levels. Even, you know, the schools, are they going to be required to get a vaccine? Same thing. If they don't get the vaccine, is it they're going to be required to test? How often is the testing? Are they going to be living by themselves? Are they going to be living with roommates? If they're living with housemates or roommates or whatever, are they going to be taking it serious? Like, it's a whole lot to talk on. I mean, if you have a freshman and so they've never even been to this environment, they have no idea what they're even going to be going into. Sit down and have a serious conversation with them. Try your best. I mean, it can be really hard to get people to take things serious sometimes, especially if white people are involved. It can be really hard where they just don't want to take it serious. And I got this. You know, you're just being an old fogey. And, you know, we young people got this. We're going to have fun. Blah, blah, blah. We're going to take it serious. You know, all that. And you don't want to have that call a month from now, 2 months from now, whatever it is. So have that conversation. If we have any folks who have had that conversation, let us know. Dial in 720-716-7300, decode 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. We'll check, see if folks have thoughts, observations to share about what is going down in their workplace. Let's see. Let's see. Folks are spectating. Again, I have no idea like what jobs folks are on, where you have no observations, thoughts. Maybe they're not mistreating you directly, but certainly with all of the COVID and other things that are happening, there would be lots of observations. So I can only emphasize, if we somehow have got like a large segment of callers, listeners, where you are not being mistreated, they are doing right by you in the workplace, they don't mistreat you, they don't mess you around on the scheduling, they don't have you coming in at 8 a.m. today and then you got to come in at 4 p.m. tomorrow and work till 1 a.m. those kind of wacky things that they do to victims of racism. Wow, you are in a unique position as victims of white supremacy, especially if you're classified as black. Let us know how you pulled that off. Like, what did you do? What did you say? Like, we would really like to emulate some of that, particularly if you're in a safe environment in the midst of all of this. Like, man, you're going to have to write down at least three or four things. Like, what did you do to pull this off? How have you managed to get in this environment? Forget all that, too. You can give us all that. But also, do you have an application? Can we come and hang out down there where you are? Maybe we can come work there, and then we won't have all these problems. We'll get compensated, treated correctly. We'll get all of our raises, and we won't have all these goofy problems. Folks trying to ask us to put our child down and come do some lecture for free. You can get a library card. Let's see. Oh, and before, if things are that spectacular and you haven't been mistreated in the midst of all this, they're not coming to pressure you about the Rona vaccine and all that other goofiness, hey, invest. Hit the blog racism-notes.blogspot.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. We're also at Cash App, cash.app/$cows. One more time, it is cash.app/$cows. Much obliged to all the folks who have invested, allowed us to broadcast for nearly 13 years. If we make it to February, doesn't even know if we'll make it to the end of the year. Like, woof, it has been dangerous. Anywho, let's see. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, if you either have your own situation, observations on the Rona, or tips to share, line should be open.
Can I be heard?
Our caller 4797. Yes, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yes, good evening. Thank you to Gus, the host, for hosting this platform. And thank you to the good evening to all the callers and the listeners of the program. I wanted to report, I didn't get to listen to the preamble of the broadcast, or most of the broadcast. So I'll just make my report on what I had experienced this week. One of the experiences that I had this week was anti-blackness, but it was on my part. I believe it was on my part, anti-blackness, because I received a phone call from a customer when I was going to pick someone up in my rideshare business. And the person described the person that I was going to be picking up as a tall, curly-haired person. And I automatically assumed that that person was white. And it didn't occur to me until about 10 minutes after the phone call had ended that that person could have been a non-white person. And I was just wanting to, I guess, check myself for that. What I believed believe was anti-blackness, and I wanted to also comment on one of the persons who had written into this program last week when they asked whether or not they should have completed a presentation. For an Ivy League university. I believe that that person should consider it, depending on whether or not they would get ongoing access to the school's library. If it was going to be something in perpetuity, I might consider that to be some type of payment. And also, if that presentation would be recorded, you could use that at a later time or compile parts of that program to be presented to others and also to add to your resume. So that's all I wanted to report for now. Thank you for listening and have a good evening.
Much obliged, good sir. Let's go back. So we'll do the anti-blackness. Now, that's interesting. You said that they gave, I guess, some sort of description. Curly-haired person. I guess you assumed that this was going to be someone classified as white, and it took some time to be like, oh, wait a minute, this could be a non-white person. Now, again, I always say, hey, when we, you know, get to start critiquing how other people are practicing counter-racism and things where they could make improvements, the person that we know the most information about is ourselves. And I think all of us have been contaminated. There's no way you could be in the system and not be contaminated. So just, I think that's great. Just being observant, you know, about your thoughts, because I don't think you told that you even said anything like, oh, this has got to be a white person. All right, I'm going to go get this white. You said you were just thinking in your mind like, oh, okay, I think it's a white person. Like, oh, wait a minute. There are non-white people who have curly hair. Like, yeah, let me get that. Don't know why I even thought that. And I'll try and do better about that in the future. System of racism, white supremacy has done a job on us all. Just being my end, being patient, you know, with yourself as you make those observations and just try and do better. So right on. It might be, I think, one of the first times we've had someone say that I've had anti-blackness in work. I was the culprit. Like, wow. Now, as for the rest of it, Vegan RD, she wrote in about, you know, do I take this, the lecture, for not being compensated? That's a good point about the library access, although I'm not sure that this was going to be like permanent or even how long the library access is going to be. I don't know if this is like, you know, a thing that's going to expire at the end of the month or end of the year, or, you know, you get to keep it for 5 years. Who knows? But me being someone who encourages reading, I could definitely see a value, you know, Yale library access. But I think she wrote it today and said that she thinks the place where she works, they also have some sort of library access, so that shouldn't be difficult to obtain. And then if it's going to be recorded, I also think that is a good read to do it, a good reason to participate. That's something that, as you said, you can have recorded and saved, could be used for other segments, other groups might want to use it. And even just having that, that's awesome. But I think she says she didn't really have, at least for the time being, any interests, pursuits in doing lectures, recording them, or what have you. But that for sure is something to think about, something to consider. I don't know if this is going to be a Zoom thing or in-person thing or what have you. But always great anything that can pad that resume and give you more professional experience. Polished speaker, presenter, always great. Much obliged, sir, for your commentary. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, if you have questions, observations, codification to share, line should be open. Make sure I get to the line here. Be patient, trying to nab the other lines. There we go. Yes, sir. That's Mo in Dallas. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Greetings, Gus. Greetings, listeners and callers. Again, thank you for the program. The audio segments, I felt like, and these are just my, like, the things that I was... The feeling that I felt when I was hearing certain portions of the audio segment, when the interviewer was questioning Letitia on the numbers of people who are leaving jobs, you know, based on the pandemic or were terminated or thought about leaving jobs, I felt like he was asking her for information he knew she couldn't quantify. That's just how I felt. Just, just because he repeated the question like three times. Like, so how many people do you? So how many people? So I heard that, but how many people do you? Like, she doesn't know. Like, and that was I felt like he was like making a spectacle of her in some sense. And I don't think, and that could just be me being hypersensitive, sensitive to white supremacy. But I think that was him practicing racism. Because he knew she'd have a certain type of information, and she's supposed to be a professional in some regard. In my personal reports, I've talked to other victims. I've spoken to a victim who worked in the medical field, and due to the pandemic, she was, I'm sorry to say, fired. Her company reconsidered and rehired her, or offered to rehire her in the same day. And I instructed her that they may have, excuse the metaphor, but overplayed their hand, you know, and were too stern with their policies and let go too much of their staff. Yeah, and I explained to her, well, you can accept a job, but if I were you, I would demand a 10% pay increase, at the very least 10%. Received a second portion to her report on if that worked out. I've spoken with a victim who's an educator. It's pandemic related. Her personal stances are against receiving vaccinations. I think today she actually. Earlier this week, she was informed that vaccinations would be mandatory for her to retain her position with that organization, and she received her vaccine today, and she isn't happy about the vaccine, but she found some solace in the incentive she received, which was $500. My job offers $200, and $500 wouldn't move me personally. And final report, I had correspondence with a third victim who worked from home when the pandemic began. She her job outsourced basically a majority of their employees to work from home, and she had. Had a chance to actually focus, and she flourished. She actually blossomed in the job so well to where the company offered her a higher position. She was supposed to be over her own department, and it was just things started to shape up for her. Or I'm sorry for that metaphor, but things started to look positive in the system. And the week. That she was supposed to get, clearance for her supplies that she ordered, you know, monitors, her team, who she picked from inside of the company, and she's informed, and she was issued a higher letter, so she issued or had human resources issue her team higher letters, so everybody's thinking that they're, you know, going to end up in a better position, and the majority of his team were black. There were two Asians. Two Asians quit, looking for better employment. I think they didn't want to be a subordinate to a non-white female, personally, non-white black female. All of that to say that department never opened the week. They literally let the week pass, and she was emailing and pressing because she's like, I can't get this department open. I promised the customer, and she's just corresponding, and people aren't responding to her. And basically, the explanation she was given was, we can't open this department until you finish something we started after we promised you your new position. So in order to get this position with that pay increase and all of those things, she's going to have to find a new staff. She's going to have to find
She's going to hope that her projections for her department remain the same in the world, when the world hopefully doesn't shut down. And she's going to have to also do the actual job tasks that she's supposed to be hired for in order to prove that she has, she can do the job that she signed for. Like, I don't know if that made any sense, but it was confusing to me. I'm sorry if I confused anyone. I mean, my mom.
Much obliged, Mo in Dallas. That was the news segment that you were referencing, I believe. That was North Carolina's Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins, white male, who kept asking Letitia Byrd in that segment about why many of these folks, you know, left because they were disgruntled with their job. All right, like you were saying, like, I don't know. Like, did I get to go around and count to get exact data for all of these people and, you know, what exactly motivated them? And I don't know. Just say that, you know, there were a sizable number of folks who you were in that category. That, again, Mike Collins with North Carolina. I feel like non-white people get put in that position quite a bit where they'll be asking questions, where a white person will be asking us questions that they already know the answer to, and or they already know there's no way we could have that information, and they just keep asking and asking and asking. That's another one that's great to say, I don't know. I don't know, and no, right up there. That could stop all of that. I don't know. Now we can move on to a new question. Let's see. The portion, you mentioned this black female where they came in and fired her. And then he said the same day. Now, to talk about embarrassing, to come in. You know what? Miss Johnson, we regret to inform you your services will no longer be needed. We've already called the police so that you can be escorted out of the building. We have a cardboard box for you. Thank you kindly. Sorry it didn't work out. We wish you the best. Make sure you don't touch anything on the way out. And do not take any extra hand sanitizer. Watch her closely, folks. And then they come back 4 hours later. Miss Johnson, we may have made a mistake. Do what? I barely got my cardboard box in the car. Like, yeah. Don't even unpack. We want you to. Like, and it's been a whole lot of companies who have been that, like, trifling and ridiculous. American Airlines. We mentioned United before, where American Airlines, they apparently furloughed lots of, I think it may have been thousands. I don't remember. I don't know the exact number, but it was a substantial number of folks they furloughed. Get on out of here. We don't need you. We got Rona shutdowns and blah, 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 and too much health. Then all this, you know, starts picking back up and people are flying. Now they don't have enough staff. Now they got all these massive shutdowns and people stuck at the airport and wigging out and all the rest of it. And they had to acknowledge, yeah, we have staff shortages. We furloughed all those people. It seems like a lot of them sat around and thought, like, man, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Am I supposed to be working for American Airlines where they'll throw me out on the curb and then ask me to beg me to come back and work for them for nickels? Or should I be doing something else with my life in a system of white supremacy racism? So I'm right on 10% raise, like, just for the humiliation and the disgrace of all of this, like, for sure, 10% raise. And hybrid, if she can work from home, yes, like, 1 or 2 days a week at home. Maybe ask for 3, and that way if they walk it down to 2, great. But I mean, what a disgrace. And then we have the female who's doing well on the job. And then he said they end up having folks quit. Now, Mr. Fuller has talked about this. I've heard other victims talk about this as well. They have television shows about this where it's a black President Obama, the Obama effect, but where a black person is so-called in charge and then the white people wig out. Are you serious? This nigger is supposed to give it. Matter of fact, call her in Florida at the courthouse. He had just talked about that. Now, this situation where Mo in Dallas just told us about, this is a black female. The caller at the courthouse in Florida, he said it was a black male and he had white people. And they said, what? this nigga. And they got that unjust networking. He said to click, they get on there and do some text messages and see if we get him in trouble and all the rest of it. Like, matter of fact, I think he said last week that the white women who are really in charge had to tell him, like, yeah, you're the boss. Go ahead and get on them, reprimand them, and, you know, be tough with them. You know, crack that whip. That's the powerful black man got to be told what to do. That right there, and we talked about this for years, having a black person who is in charge, the system of white supremacy, they can show you better than I can tell you who is really in charge. So they put her in charge, and then they have white, he said, white people, like, I'm not working for this nigga, I quit, I'm out of here. In the middle of the Rona, no less, I'm out of here, I quit. Go do something else or see if I can get some unemployment benefits. Now she's strengthened out. She had been doing well. Not that she's incompetent. Not that she's lazy. Not that she doesn't know what she's doing. Not that she's just been twiddling her thumbs and watching Netflix, eating fried chicken on the job. Nope. Diligent, hard worker, showing up on time every day. Sabotage. People don't want to work with me. He said, I'm trying to even figure out, and people won't even communicate. Now, where have we heard that before? I can't even get my questions answered in a prompt fashion so that I can respond, solve problems, take care of business. What do they call it? They're ghosting me. And then come back and say, oh, no, we can't do anything. You got to start over from scratch and get a new staff. We can't open this until you get out. I'm like, what? That right there is the black person in charge system of racism, white supremacy, where often they are setting us up for failure. Much obliged. And I would just, I guess, add to it. I mean, unless, you know, like for sure, this is, you know, this is just going to be some total nonsense. And I've seen this, like 50,000 black people get this job and have been fired in a month type of a thing. I would still say take it. You add it to your resume. You were in charge. You supervised. It might be a pay increase. Normally is. If you don't take it, we've had situations where a black person declined a promotion and the white person gave it to him anyway. Said, nigga, you can't decline. Congratulations. We've had folks who reported that happened. So that's one. Two, if you decline it, they can still mistreat you. If you think, you know, I take this job and they'll just fire me in 2 months, you could decline it and they could do that too. So I'd still say take the job, but just don't take it thinking, you know, hey, I'm going to put my feet up on the desk and I am the supervisor. What do they call it? I'm the HNIC. Don't think that at all, whether you're supervising white people or non-white people. Like, this is going to be awful. I'm going to be sabotaged and undermined. I'm going to try to learn as much as I can, but wow, I just expect lots of mistreatment and sabotage and unruliness from everybody that I am supervising, in quotes. Let's see. Much obliged, Mo in Dallas. The number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, let us know about the Rona situation. If they're the vaccines, are they saying you got to do this or you got to do testing? Are they even taking it serious in your workplace? Are they back to having, you know, Pizza Tuesday and, you know, Potluck Friday and all the rest of it? Is that back in effect in your workplace? Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open.
Can I be heard?
Yeah. Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay, that's okay. For the caller, good evening, everybody, anyway. But for the caller who is going to have the opportunity to speak at an Ivy League school, I would think about the long-term effects of the intent and the words. What do you expect to, the result to be if they're able to transcribe that or reproduce that and it's exposed to a lot of non-white people? Are you going to be seeking two non-white people Well, being asked to speak to white people, well, you're going to speak to white people. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Oh, she was excited. Right on. Those are all good questions. I am not sure. Maybe she can write in and let us know, like, what if she knows, like, the audience, who she's going to be talking to. I don't even know if this was going to be at an Ivy League institution. I know she included that it was going to be, or, yeah, it would be, include access to the Yale Library, but I'm not sure if she was going to be, like, speaking at Yale or another Ivy League institution or someplace else, or, yeah, if it's going to be to a room full of white people, non-white people, like, yeah, those are all excellent questions to factor into whether or not you want to involve yourself in this project. What's going to be the result? Trying to think in the future, what's going to be the result and how is this going to be used if it's recorded or if this is, you know, a live one-time type presentation. Let's see. Much obliged for your suggestion, sir. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up. If you have commentary, questions, observations to share, proceed.
May I be heard?
Yes, see. 3098, yes, sir.
Yes, good evening, guests. Good evening, callers, good evening, listeners. I want to share an observation or question. Dealing with the mandatory testing. Being that I will be subject to mandatory testing or vaccination after Labor Day, I wanted to know if anybody else has experience where in their research they found out if you've been previously tested positive for COVID, that the PCR, which is the nasal swab test, is ineffective. What would be your next move? Because my research has shown that it is, they want you to then take the antibody test, which is taking the blood. I'm curious about that. Not inclined to do so. So I'm trying to figure out what my next move is. If anybody else has any insight into this mandatory testing or being having a blood taken. So I'm not inclined to do that. Had my blood taken, I'm not inclined to take the vaccine. So I'm curious to see if anybody else has any insight as to, you know, say if they are like healthcare workers and or city work, you know, municipal workers who will be subject to this mandate. Thank you.
Much obliged, sir. That's why I said there's so much to talk about in the work environments, and fall is looming. Lots of different geographic regions basically have the same schedule. The thought process, at least what they've reported, is that they think, or they're saying that they believe by sometime in September, The FDA will have approved one, if not several, of these vaccines as being so-called safe. So by that point, they feel that many of these workplaces will be able to legally require what he just talked about, that you be vaccinated and all the rest, and or tested. And like some places said, it's just going to be vaccinated and that's that. No jab, no job. So the one was, if we have any folks with medical expertise, this is one where I probably would not be interested in armchair researchers, where you are an attorney by day. And I've spent 5 minutes of my spare time reading about medical conditions and COVID-19. Like, if we have any folks who actually have some medical expertise, you work in the medical field, that would be grand. If not, we can point and redirect our question to some of those folks. But the question was, if you have tested positive for COVID-19, could that taint future results where you end up with, I guess they might call that a false positive, showing that you're positive when it's just that you have been positive for COVID before, but are fine, have recuperated, all that. That was one. And then if that is the case, if there might be some, for whatever reason, the test is not reliable, if you've been positive for COVID before or whatever, if the test is not the standard PCR test that they do, is doing a blood test the only other option in terms of testing for COVID-19 to get a reliable test? And I think our caller mentioned having some logical apprehension about having to hand over their DNA for, you know, are they going to hold this? Are they going to destroy it? Are they going to sell it to a third party or third parties? All of the above. Henrietta Lacks. Lots of reasons to be concerned about that. And what are your alternatives? Now, the alternatives will certainly depend on which, you know, geographic location that you're in. But let's see, do we have, I guess, any folks with any, because I'm not a doctor, don't have any expertise in that field at all. Do we have any folks, any sort of medical expertise in terms of the testing? Is there any reason that the testing would be less accurate if you have tested positive before? Would that for some reason may skew the results to a false positive in the future? And then other testing, particularly, are there other test methods where you would not have to give any sort of blood or any of your genetic material over to get a reliable test result? Any folks with any extra info on that? Let's see. Might not have medical experts with us. Let's see. I'll at minimum write it down and check in, because we've had medical experts on the program, quite a few of them over the past 18 months, because I think that those are solid questions. And man, it, like I said, for the second one, wow, like now that's one you might have to sit down with HR and like ask detailed questions, because it might be that that's the case. And if you tested positive before, that has some sort of impact on the results. Are there other tests available to make sure that we're safeguarding all of the HIPAA laws and employee confidentiality? Can we have less invasive testing where we're not having to give over blood samples for any long period of time, or really at all? Some sort of other method of testing where you don't have to do a blood sample, something that's less invasive but is reliable to make sure that everybody's safe. That's, you know, super important. But I mean, that might be the type of thing, once you see that this is policy and procedure, like, man, let's go chat it up with human resources and see, you know, what they say, because they might know. They might be like, yeah, these are the different test options that are available. Or, you know, if you can bring questions to them that this, there might be some doubts about the reliability of this test, they might work on, especially if you go in advance. That might be one where I might go talk to human resources too and see what they have. Have you done that? Talk to human resources to see, you know, what they have to say about some of these questions?
I have not talked to human resources, but I did go to a testing center to inquire about the same thing, the same questions I just asked.
I was not able to get a satisfactory answer. So that's why I'm trying to, I'm just looking for other insight. But in HR, and when I have, we have with my employer, they have a COVID hotline that I might be able to inquire. So I'll do that tomorrow.
That sounds, yeah, I would do that. I would do both. Maybe contact the HR folks, see what they say, and then contact the hotline and see what they say, and then continue with your personal research. Yeah, I'll see if I can ask one of the medical folks that I respect and see, you know, what they, what info they have. Like, is the test reliable? Are you subject to false positives? Is there another test that's less? What test would they recommend that they think is safe and, you know, will give reliable results for a work environment that's also, you don't have to do all the blood results? Like, yeah, I think that's important. And seeing what those folks may say, they might even be able to knock both of your the HR folks and or the COVID line. They might be able to get more satisfactory answers. But that's, I would definitely have hesitation. That would make me even more anxious if you go and you try to ask the first time and they do not answer your questions. Like, oh, like, yeah, let's get all of this done before Labor Day. Like, we should have all of these questions answered thoroughly before September. So, yeah, I think that's black self-respect, too. Like, if you have serious questions and they haven't been answered, get your questions answered. Anything that's about safety in the workplace, like, there should be no question, no ambiguity at all. Take your safety super serious. Let's see. I'll double check. If we have any folks who are listening in, maybe if you have any medical expertise, feel free to, you know, chime in belatedly and let us know about the testing component, what have you. Did I hear other folk? Did I hear someone? Mind playing tricks on me. Let's see. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. See if I can nab some of the other emails in as we go. Email address again, untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. Let's see. Other person wrote in. Hey, Gus, I was talking to my attempted family member. This is so wacky. Like, why is the screen like this? Let's see. Man, I do not like that at all. For whatever reason, the screen is a little wacky on this. So we'll try, I guess, because there's an image here. All right, we'll make it work. I was talking to my attempted family member recently, and he told me about a recent incident at his workplace. My attempted family member works at a place that sometimes requires help from other co-workers to get a task done. Very common. So there's a white man and a black male that frequently, when they help each other, they use inappropriate terms such as stupid cracker, in quotes, and dumb nigger, in quotes, towards each other in a joking manner. Like, 50 thumbs down. Like, oh my gosh, worst possible thing you can be doing, especially in the environment. Now, we just talked about this last week, right? We're talking about it with all black people, non-white people. One of the worst things you can do, you can, even if it's all black people, you could get in trouble for that sort of thing. It's almost 2022. White people and non-white people, oh, horrible. You're asking for trouble. All you have to do is for the wrong person to hear that. catch someone on the wrong day when they're not patient and they don't think it's funny, or just one of those where I can think of a thousand different ways where that can go wrong and cause unnecessary problems. I can't think of one constructive component of it. Like if it's, we got to go move the filing cabinet. Hi, Roger. Hi, Bob. Going to move the filing cabinet? Let's move the filing cabinet. You doing all right? Yep. Hands washed? Yep. All right. You ready? One, two, three. Hoop. Make sure you bend your knees. Back safety. Oh, yeah. Protect my back. All right. Going to set it down. One, two, three. Easy does it. Watch your toes. All right. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later. Have a great weekend. Yes, sir. You too. Can you not do a version of that? That doesn't work to get, you know, things moved. Oh, and particularly because that's so common, all of that. Oh, we're just joking around. We're just having fun. Just trying to make the day go by and have a little fun. Hey. Any of that mistreatment that is disguised as camaraderie and, you know, this is just us having a little tomfoolery. Professionalism. That trumps everything. Professionalism. Not us having a joke or two. If we can't have a joke in a professional manner, we don't need to joke at all. They continue. Which my attempted, wow. Woo, hurting my ears. All right, let's try that one more time. So they do all this joking, inappropriate, blah, 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 blah. Which my attempted family member told me he always stayed away from because he didn't think it was funny or a laughing manner. Now, that sounds like a genius, someone who is thinking in a correct manner in the workplace. One day, my attempted family member needed the white man's assistance, and the white man proceeds to get into his dumb niggers don't know anything routine. And my attempted family member didn't react in the most codified manner and went off on the white guy. Now, I don't know what going off means. Sometimes people say that when they mean that this person engaged in some sort of physical contact. Sometimes it just means that they cursed the person out or yelled at them or told them that what they did was really incorrect and wasn't going to be tolerated. That can mean a lot of different things, but that's why I said, it can just take the one day where maybe you know, your sleep got disrupted or anything, you know, something happened. You had a spat with your attempted care mate or whatever. But it just on that day, you don't have the patience that you normally would. You're not in a joking mood. This is something that's not funny anyway. So maybe on this day you're in your correct thinking mind. Like, what did you call me? What did you say? As opposed to, oh, ha, 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 that's right, yeah, dumb niggers. Anyway, we talked about this for so much of this is about getting black people to respond emotionally. Composure, composure, composure. You know, it's not like a dictatorship. You don't have to agree with any component of what Gus T says or what's promoted on the context of white supremacy by myself or the callers, but I mean, woo. One thing, if you listen to Neutralizing Workplace Racism or the Cows in general, composure. None of this matters if you lose your composure. Once you go off on a white person or even a non-white person, like, psh, hey, whatever. Say whatever you want at that point. Like, it's probably not going to work out well and just having increased conflict and probably, you know, more problems. Trying to solve problems without creating problems. Talking about racism is already rife with conflict and emotion, so we're not, as best we can, we want to try to maintain our composure, especially when white people are trying to provoke us. Lots of that in this system. Continuing. So he went off on the white guy. The white guy was very apologetic and remorseful. Then he mentions that him and the other black male victim play like that all the time, and he didn't mean anything by it. He was just joking, of course. So the next day at work, the white man comes up to my attempted family member and says, you know, I felt so bad about yesterday and it bothered me so much. I had my wife bake you a cake.
My attempted family member took the cake, and when he was in the clear, he threw the cake into the trash can. Brilliant. I was a little nervous, like, oh no, he's not going to eat the cake. He's not gonna... Brilliant. And I mean, we are still in the pandemic. Didn't I just say that? Like, have they gone back to like potlucks and all that? Like, we're in the pandemic. Let's everybody just eat our own food. Like, it's all good. I don't need any baked goods or snack items. Let's just all eat our own food, keep our hands to ourselves. They got the, what they call it, the Delta variant. Like, I'm on a diet. I got peanut allergies. I'm lactose intolerant. I'm vegan. I'm fasting. Like, I would just be rattling them off. Like, I'm cool. Like, you all already know I'm cool. And that just strikes me as, like, all kinds of suspicious. Like, you are joking around, dumb niggers this and dumb niggers that you even think that that's something that's funny and appropriate for the workplace, and your response is, I felt so bad, I made you a cake, whether he did or his wife did, either way, and you just went and pow. One day, for me, normally, it's not just the snap of a finger cake. For me, normally, it's I got to go to the grocery store and make sure I got all the ingredients and blah, 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 not just, this happened at work. I got off work, got all the ingredients, and bam, whipped up a cake for you. Bravo, we got genius, threw it in the trash can. And from that point on, avoided asking the white man for anything when possible. To the victim who was questioning whether she should do the lecture in exchange for Yale library access, I would say yes. Some years ago, I had limited access to one of those libraries, and it was astounding to me some of the things they had. I was studying the Tulsa 1921 massacre back then. They just did the 100-year anniversary. And I was able to find quite a bit, including actual footage from Tulsa, I believe, a few years prior to the massacre. It would be a great resource to her if she was able to gain access. Library access is great. Lastly, I finally made my first vegan dish. Vegan lasagna, it was pretty good to say the least. It was time consuming, but with more practice, I think I can be more efficient, but it was worth it, I must admit. And then we have the picture of the lasagna. It looks pretty tasty, like, wow, right on. Bravo for healthy eating. That's right there with workplace racism. Like, I talk about replenishing from all of the terrorism, people trying to poison you on the job and everything else. Replenishing and taking care of yourself is super important, not just going and drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, and gorging on a lot of sweets and sugar and all that craziness that a lot of us will do. One of the worst things, just go home and eat bad food and stew in all that toxicity and then go up and get a whole nother round of that tomorrow, and then they have donut day and all the rest. Like, take care of yourself, eat really healthy food, get your rest, replenish your body, get those toxins out of your system. The number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. The email untiljustice@gmail.com. Suggestions, questions,
they like you.
Observations. Let's see. Mo in Dallas, did you have commentary?
Hi, baby.
Oh, is that Mo and Dolph? Were you just listening, sir?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. No worries.
Just listening. I'm a mistake.
No worries. Boy, we have many words, but that is not one. Let's see. Other folks, comments, observations, or still thinking? Give folks a second or two to get it together. Again, the COVID-19 observations in the workplace, very important. Make sure you're watching out for what's happening in your workplace. If they're taking it seriously, are they mandating the vaccines, the different testing, what type of testing? Like, it's so much to consider. I guess I will say, I'm not that I'm promoting. I'll put it, I'll make sure I use my words carefully.
I'm not promoting this at all. I'm just including it because I have talked to a number of folks, Cal's listeners and beyond, people that I've talked to like in person and talked to over the phone, where these are non-white people who've said, hey, I don't trust the vaccine, or I have questions or concerns, or, you know, whatever the case is. But for job purposes, school purposes, travel purposes, for lots of different combination of purposes, there are folks that I know who have gotten with the fake vaccine cards for, like I said, for lots of the reasons that I just named off. I'm not advocating, but I mean, that is like a substantial number of folks are in that category. If you are vaccinated and are in a work environment that's requiring vaccines, that's something to think about. Just, you know, some of the people there might have a fake vaccine card. They may not be vaccinated. So that's something to just keep in mind for your health and safety. If you don't want to get the vaccine, I guess that is an option that some people are using. Now, I'm not advocating it at all, but a number of folks, that is something that they are doing to get through all of this. They, you know, are at least right now still staunch that they don't want the vaccine, but they don't want to lose access to, you know, their job, travel, school, lots of things, going to the local pub even, or the gym. So they want the card just in case. There's some folks who feel that it could become quite draconian in terms of if there's another lockdown or threat of another lockdown, that having that type of document could become important, and or just being vaccinated, you know, either way. But there are some folks, just not promoting, be very clear, not promoting, but man, wacky. I can't even imagine, like, I can't even think of anything to contrast it to, because I don't remember anything before COVID-19 where people were even contemplating or speculating about some sort of documentation that would need to be fraudulent to sustain a job, to keep a job, to lots to process. Anyway, can't say it enough times. Not promoting, just that is a part of the environment that we're in. I have talked about it. This is the first time on air. Might hear about it on the compensatory call-in tomorrow, particularly within the college environment, because that's workplace too, but particularly there, because as I said, so many universities are requiring vaccines if you're going to be, and I think it might even be fully vaccinated. You can't just have like one. You got to be fully vaccinated if you're going to be on campus in like 10 days or whatever it is. And I guess there's a substantial number of probably young white people who've been around their Trump parents and all the rest, and like, there's no vaccine and all this is made up in the scandemic and rah, rah, rah. So yeah, there could be, that might be something else. If you have university offspring, they're going to be freshmen or whatever. Talk to them about that too. The fake vaccine. So your roommates, they might be lying. They might not even be vaccinated. Strange times. Let's see. Number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Other folks who dialed in, comments to share? Folks spectating, getting their thoughts together.
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. To start out with the, I wanted to share some updates. As far as the COVID-19 updates, since I work for the county, I saw that there was an article where because school started this week, right, for our county. And I believe the article said it was 80 people had to go home and quarantine. That was like maybe a week or so ago. I know that's been going on, and the hospitals, just like a lot of other hospitals, have been filled to capacity. So that's why maybe like a week or two ago, the head clerk, the boss, had sent out an email reminding us to go back to wearing masks. So on the white side, of course, a lot of the white staff it doesn't look like they've been wearing their masks too much. And especially ones that sit in a linear setting, but they have glass partitions to keep them from the customers. But I'm like, what about, you know, the staff themselves? But, you know, of course I'm on the other side, but I noticed that. And even one time, one of the white women tried to cover her mouth and her nose with her hand, from what I could see when she was engaging with another white person. So definitely that entitlement is being shown. And another white woman from another observation that I had, she was saying that her dad, I believe, tested positive. So the other white woman, I guess she knows that she lives in close proximity with her father or dad or whatever. And she was like, well, why are you here? You should be out. You shouldn't be here. And then her response is, oh, because I need the overtime. And then she just burst out laughing or whatever. So I noted that one. My next one is, this I thought was an act of deception. Well, these next two was customer-based, white culture. There was a white man that came in to the desk. I helped him. Well, he was looking for a copy of his marriage record, marriage license, to prove for something for insurance. So he was courteous to a degree, I guess. He wasn't rude or anything, but it looks like he was it seemed like he was in a hurry. So I say he had to go back out into the lobby and speak to the marriage license clerk to get the particular information he was looking for. So before he was about to leave, I noticed he was wearing this hat and it said, don't tread on me, right? It said, don't tread on me. And you know that flag, if anyone's seen it, it's got snake on it, bright yellow. But this one, it was a gray hat and it was a black square and it said, don't tread on me, with yellow letters. So I didn't really notice it. So I feel like he was being deceitful, you know, wearing that type of headwear. But I still do think the guards had to see that because many of them are classified as white. So some of them may have that kind of hat themselves. But I thought, huh, and that was kind of tricky. That was kind of sneaky and deceitful, in my opinion. Because, like, why would he even be allowed to wear that? But then again, somebody wore a Florida Cracker shirt. So my next one is a black male who works across the hallway. He was talking about how he used to play football in high school. And he just came out and just said it. He said, you know what? You got to be crazy to play football, man. He just came out and said it. He said, you got to be crazy to play football. You got to have something wrong with your mind or something, he said. I said, really? Because he said, like, you know how you're hitting each other and everything like that. He said he enjoyed doing it, but he doesn't play anymore. But that's what he concluded it with, that passing by conversation. The other customer, who was a young white teenager, I guess, 18, he was in there with his mom, white mom. So he was just, you know, talking and talking or whatever. And I guess he is about to have a child with his girlfriend or whatever, fiance or whatever the term is. And he said that out of nowhere, in front of his mom, he was like, hey, you know when you're in a vehicle and you, I'm trying to think, you, when you're in a vehicle and you get someone pregnant, that's what you call a car accident. So I said, where did you hear that from? Where did you get that? So, oh, my girlfriend, she has tons of these kind of puns. I said, wow, I never heard of that. And, you know, his mom told him to just be quiet and sit down, you know, so I can get these files, so I can get these copies. I have two more. This definitely cowbell, because white women tend to be flirtatious. Now, this is the judge, right? So I'm walking to get in the Jeep to go pick up the mail. And the judge, she's looking for her keys. And she recognizes that I'm walking on the sidewalk out of the back door. And she's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. And I see you growing your beard and everything. And I'm trying to find my keys. And she has a water bottle sitting next to the, I guess, SUV or whatever. And she gets out and she finally finds the keys and is about to go inside to go on the bench. And I said, hey, you left your water bottle right here. And he said, oh my goodness, thank you so much. You know what it is? I think I'm just overwhelmed to see you and just being flirtatious like that, right? So I would say, well, you have a good one, Judge. And I just walk off. So I'm like, dang, man, like, there's no way. Like, I noted this. I said, there's no way I can talk to no white woman like that. Any way, any connotation, period. Right. So, and my last one is, we got an email, saying that the victim that was sent home, she's supposed to be coming back on Monday, and the black male that they're trying to criminalize, he was just in the office this past Tuesday. So he still has more files to come look at. So I just got a bad feeling that I don't, you know, something is going to happen. And I think they know that. So they may be trying to set up something. But I'm just not entirely sure what's going to play out. But the anti-blackness that was coming out saying that she could not stand this guy, he gets on her nerves. I couldn't see what the problem was, because we were courteous toward each other. And I think that's just sad and unfortunate. But other than that, that's all I have to share. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
Much obliged, caller in Florida. I had never even met the brother, and I hate his guts too. Like, that's system of whites. What did he do exactly? I hate his guts. Didn't I tell you? We all hate his guts. Yes, him and Al Sharpton. But did he do something specific? Did he key your car, or he smacked your child? Like, did he do? Is this your former boyfriend? What did he do? Blackmail. Blackmail privilege, no less. Let's see. The not taking it, and this is our caller in Florida. This is Ron DeSantis land, you know, where the governor is coming up. We're not wearing a mask. All this craziness. Get out of here. Joe Biden. It's the immigrants, in fact. It's not COVID-19. It's these no-count immigrants. So, Mr. or Governor DeSantis, same person who told these schools, if you try to insist on having masks,
no Florida funding for you, cutting your state funding. In fact, said he would go specifically after the educators, principals, and what have you. Said, I'll cut your salary. You try and put some mask foolishness in here. So this is where we're talking about. She says the woman at the courthouse says, I think it was her dad, got COVID-19. She's still here hanging out. No, aren't you quarantined? What are you doing here? They call it contact tracing. You've been around your dad. Like, what the heck? This is why you here. I need the overtime. What's funny about that? Like, I thought that's a serious question. Like, don't they have protocol? Like, hey, you've been around someone. I don't know if she's wearing a mask or not, but I mean, hey, Delta variant, lots of problems here in Florida. Why are you here? Why aren't you looking out for the rest of our health and safety? Go home. Get tested. Matter of fact, have you been tested? This is going to be going on for a long time. Not taking it serious. The white fella with the don't tread on me. Now, I've seen tons of those going on. Going back to the Obama years. That's when I remember those breaking out. Like people, you know, really like this. Nick talk being upset about a non-white person being in charge. Like, ooh-wee, I got to break out all of my paraphernalia. Not going to stomp on my rights and get our guns and all the rest of it. Remember that? That was, matter of fact, that was with the town hall meetings. I think President Obama had been in office like 5 days, and they dust off. Got to get my don't tread on shirts, snickering, get my rifle. He's still wearing his. President Obama been gone for what, 6 years now? He's still hanging on. Let's see. Now, the black fella that came in on the football, I don't know if that's workplace racism per se, although you were working when this conversation popped up, so at least for you it is, but man, said like a man after my own, or at least a male after my own heart, like, wow. I don't know if you have to be crazy to play football, or if there has to be something wrong with your brain, but playing it will certainly make you crazy and will certainly damage your brain. So it's, I guess it's kind of a chicken and egg type of a thing. But if you get, a lot of times it's children, so they can't really think clearly. So if you get suckered into it, like, ooh-wee, you are definitely going to end up with something being wrong with your mind. No, but in fact, I think that's going to be, I don't know what other logical opinion, conclusion one can come to. Like, eventually, when we get closer to a system of, matter of fact, Dr. Welsing was talking about that today, why that sort of content is so popular and prevalent in a system of white supremacy where the tiny white minority dominates and terrorizes the majority of the planet. You've got to have constant killing, constant violence. So that's going to be reflected in the culture in which we are saturated. Violence, killing, especially of non-white people. And football, man, you will see lots and lots and lots of violence involving black people. Yay, Russell Wilson. Let's see. The vehicle accident. I mean, crass? Tacky? Like, what the world? Like, I've never even heard that. Like, what? What? You get someone pregnant in the car, and that's a what? And then he didn't just leave it at that. Like, he says, oh yeah, my mom, she's got a bunch of those. What? What do you mean, got what? Like, this sounds like some man. When we ask, like, do you know any racist jokes? Wee, he sounds like, how much time you got, man? I'll be here all weekend. Like, wee, my mom's got, like, what do you mean? Like, what kind? And then he said the mom had a lot of them. Yo, what'd you say?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just really quick. I think he does, the way he said it, is just like the such and such walks into a bar. Like, I could tell. And he said his girlfriend knows more than he does, the female. He said that's where he got that one from. And he says it's basically made it sound like she an expert on these jokes. And I assume that that sounds like he may know some racist jokes. But I was helping his mom, and he was sitting in the background. Okay, and then he was just making random comments. So he came up and he mentioned that. And then, you know, he said, oh, yeah, you know, we say them all the time. We say them all the time. So, yeah.
Doesn't get any better than tacky in the system of white. Now, that's, he blamed it on the girlfriend. Says she knows a bunch of them. She's got them all now. See, that I would just sit there with my pad out or pull the phone out like, you know any racist jokes? Or does she know any racist jokes? And let him roll. Just let him roll. And now, see, that's another one. You can't sit around and tell me white people are ignorant about racism. I didn't even hear the racist joke, but I mean, this just sounds like the type of fella who would be happy to rattle them off. Like, and then he said, Lamont, she's hearing all this. I'm sure this is not the first time. She said, be quiet. I'm trying to get my phone. You sitting up here talking nonsense and telling all these goofy jokes. I'm trying to get business done. Might even been her. I'm sure she's heard this before. She's not stepping in. Stop being crass. We're in public. We're in the courthouse, much less. Like, stop being crass. They fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Let's see. Speaking of the white women now, the judge comes in with all this. Like, oh, my Lord, I haven't seen you in so long. Look at you. Just so, wow, you just look so great. Everything, my goodness. Oh, look at your hair. Everything is just done. Like, come on now. Come on now. any black man, I wouldn't care if you were the judge, the janitor, anywhere in between on that, and the white female, she could be the janitor. You think you, and particularly now, almost 2022, you think you're going to be able to come in? Oh, my Lord, I'm so flustered just seeing you. Ooh, I forgot what I was doing. I'm just overwhelmed seeing you. Wow, just look at you. Everything just looks so great. You would have been, they would have had you with a cardboard, but I pack every piece of material and get out. The bailiff would have been, I told you I was going to shank him. I knew it. He's been around here, but acting like, they'd have put that in the newsletter. Like, we had one of our 10-year employees threatened to rape and sexually harass one of our steep female staff workers. She's currently in counseling and trying to get help. Me too. We're not going to tolerate Governor Cuomo or any of these other black males around here. Like, they would have, come on. And that's one of those we talked before about not being alone or in close quarters with what, really, it could be females, period. But I would say especially a white woman for that type of reason. Exactly. Because things can go bad so quickly. And I mean, they can be aggressive, like that can end up being touching and saying something. And then if they see you're not responding in the way that they want, where they flip it around and that you did something incorrect and all the rest of it, like, I think you did the best thing in just making that brief. I gotta go. Yep, gotta go. Any excuse, like, I got something to do, somebody called me, pager went off, fire alarm, like, gotta go. Catch you later. Shenanigans all the way. Could be to anything. I'd say even the same P word I keep saying, professional. This is not an environment for racist jokes. This is not an environment for making wise cracks and cursing and hip hop music and all the rest of it. We're in a professional workplace. All behavior should reflect that. So anything that deviates from that, particularly when it's behavior that deviates from professionalism, where you have to wonder now, would a white person be behaving like this if I was not classified as black? Would this judge be sitting up here doing all this stuff and flirty behavior with me if I was a white man? I think a lot of, I don't know if that gets talked about a lot, but I think a lot of black females, and I did mention Terry Crews, a lot of white women and even a lot of white men exploit in an aggressive manner sexually black males and females in the work environment, where they can make and do sexually inappropriate things, and they know, like, who's going to believe this black person? As I said, they've been conditioned not to reject me, so I can do what I want, say what I want. A lot of them have been so conditioned by us to seek white validation, even if it is inappropriate conduct from a white person, they will still accept it and all the rest. I'm not calling them a nigger. So be very mindful of that. Any white, but really anybody, but especially any white person, even if it's supposed to be some sort of courtesy or a tacky compliment, if they're behaving in a manner that's not professional, you don't think they'd be treating you this way if you were classified as white? Inappropriate, nip it in the bud. And pin that, super dangerous. And yeah, more anti-blackness towards the black male. Same thing, when they got somebody that they can't stand, because this will happen a lot of times with even coworkers, where they have like, you know, sometimes it'll be a whole department, they have a vendetta against one person, or they don't like this person, or they don't like this employee. And you like, what did this person do? And they can't tell you. Or it'll be they did something like 5 years ago. Like, not, it wasn't like they killed someone or burnt down the building or wrecked your car or something. Like, 5 years ago, they forgot my birthday or something goofy. So now we got a vendetta against them for, you know, the ages. What? Are you serious? Like, that sort of thing is so common. And then much less when you add the racism to it, where a black person, you don't even have to do anything. This black male, he didn't have to do anything. I'm just coming to the courthouse trying to get my, oh, they said he was researching the sheriff. Okay, so what? I hate him. I can't stand his guts. We're going to spy on him. Let's go get the IT guy, look on the computer. And all that. Like, dang, like, what is all that for? And he said they've probably been doing some unjust networking. Let's see if we can either provoke him. They do that, see if we can get him riled up so he'll respond inappropriately. Then we can ban him from the courthouse or call the police on him or something, you know, crazy in that nature or whatever. Have the IT set up already so we can go spy and see what he looked at while he was here. Like, trashy, terroristic, tacky.
Yes, sir.
Oh, did I miss
you? I think that's what they're trying to do. Mm. With that. I think that's what that point you just made, like trying to find a way to rationalize their racism against him as a black male, and they mistreated him. So he's shown professionalism. He hadn't mistreated anyone. So I'm hearing that my supervisor saying, oh, well, they had on camera, it looks like he was walking up, following, and she's a black female's name. Well, she was backing out, and it just didn't sound like it was something true to me. It sounded like she was exaggerating him walking to his vehicle, because how would he know what vehicle she's driving? So it's trying to find anything.
First weapon system of white supremacy is deception. And I feel like anytime that you have unjust networking, that's pretty much already deception. Because like one element of deception is failure to disclose when you start obfuscating. And unjust network, it's not like they want everybody to know what they're talking about when they're doing these text messages and having these little secret rendezvous and conversations. Like, you're already right there in terms of deceiving, because you're having these exclusive conversations talking about incorrect things and mistreating people. So we're already right at deception. And it doesn't take a whole lot to just go from there to, hey, why don't we just say that he was threatening Julie? Yeah, that's what we'll say. She was going to leave for the day, and he stalked out. He was mad, and he was sulking, and he looked like his pants was up. Yeah, and he had a weapon. You're already right there. To just add that little bit to it, and then, hey, it's one. How many people we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, we get all four of us to say the same thing. Like, psh, one Negro against four white people. Psh, you already lost, man. So we can say whatever we want to. Like, yep, that's right. And we're court employees. That carries weight. That's not like we're just McDonald's employees or at Jack in the Box or whatever, or Whataburger, and saying, yeah, this Negro came in and growled at us at the menu. And no. We're officers of the court, and we're saying that this nigger comes into the courthouse and is rude and threatening, and he stalked me out to the courthouse, and I don't feel, and they already got the bail. Now, he just told us the bailiff was ready to shank him. I've been working here for 10 years, and they're ready to shank me. This is a black male who doesn't even work here, and we don't like him. black male privilege, 2022 and beyond. And then, and contrast his conduct now, the white people that we've heard. You got the white fella who's coming in, he's cracking like dirty jokes and whatnot. What do you call a car accident? Oh, I got $1 million. Oh, my girlfriend's got a million. That's where I get them from. And the other white guy, he's coming in with the don't tread on me teeth. Now, just look at that. They can come in and have all kinds of symbolism. And that don't tread on me. Some of the people at the Capitol, that's what they had on. Why isn't it like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Terrorist in the bill. Like, wait a minute, man. What are you doing with that on? Were you one of those trumpet men? Keep an eye. Where's the unjust networking then? Like, we got to keep an eye on this guy. I don't know if he's coming in here, man. He might be one of those folks who was up at the Capitol and calls and all that. Man, keep an eye on him. Nah, nah, nah. The black male who's coming in looking for records, researching the sheriff. That's the problem. Disgraceful as usual every week, Florida courthouse. Much obliged, sir. Black male privilege, full effect. The number again, 720-716-7300. The code 564-943. Pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Email untiljustice@gmail.com if you have something you want to write in and don't want to be identified specifically. Any other folks, suggestions, comments, questions they want to make sure they get in?
May I be heard again?
Let's see. Our caller, 4797. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. There's just one more thing that I wanted to report on workplace racism. I consider it workplace racism because I was, as a business owner, going to get tax information from the IRS office. And I'll say that I had to schedule this appointment to go in to make the in-person visit. It was 2 weeks prior so that I could have the in-person appointment, and it was not close to my home. So when I got to the office, I had an understanding that I had gone through quite a bit of arduous process in order to get the appointment. And when I got there, the young lady who introduced herself as Mrs. Johnson, asked for my identification in order to validate who I was so that she could continue to service, offer me the service. And I showed her, she actually had a partition between herself and between us. And I reached into my wallet to get my identification, and I showed it to her, but I asked her to not touch my identification because of COVID and other reasons. And she was very incredulous about that and a little bit combative, to be honest with you. And she insisted on taking my identification in her hand to validate who I was. And at some point, she grabbed a tissue and said, oh, well, I don't have the cooties. And she reached for my identification, and I told her, still, no, please, you can see it here. And it was almost a bit of a tug of war, where she was trying to pull it from me, and I was resisting it. But then I thought about the difficulty it was to gain this appointment, this in-person appointment, to get those tax documents for my business, and I relented and let her have the identification while she had it in a tissue. She proceeded to validate who I was, but she barely looked at the identification, and I'm sure she was a little bit thrown off by the fact that someone had resisted, and I guess an order. And so it was after that, I decided to
work on being as cordial as possible so that I can get everything that I needed taken care of. And she was extraordinarily helpful and pleasant demeanor, because I definitely addressed her as Mrs. Johnson from then on. But she was extraordinarily helpful after that. But that was just, and she, by the way, she was a non-white woman, non-white female. And I know that she was over 60, because she had one of the other things I wanted to comment about that interaction was that she had a birthday card, basically a lot of personal information surrounding her death, funeral programs of her mother, of other family members, pictures of her children, grandchildren, and I certainly attribute VGQ. She can do whatever she likes, and I certainly don't cast any aspersions or bad judgment upon her for doing that, because I'm sure that I've done many things worse than that in terms of being non-codified, and maybe she doesn't even care about codification. But I just wanted to bring that up just to bring to notice that it is probably not a very good idea to have so much, excuse me, I apologize, personal information on your desk, because it's just, you never know who is going to be coming into your office to view that kind of information and who may have some type of vindictive attitude toward you by not getting what you they wanted at the time. But the interaction, like I said before, going forward from that was extremely pleasant, and she was very helpful. And that's all I have to share about that report. Thank you.
Context of white supremacy. Bravo for courtesy. I'm all like 1,000%, especially if you're dealing with other black people, non-white people. Like, I'm all about courtesy. That doesn't mean, you know, that you personally just, you know, think this person is the best ever or anything of that nature. But just if this is a work contact, you said you're trying to get important documentation for personal business. Hey, this is work. So I'm all about courtesy in that environment. I think, at least in my experience, that's more helpful than just being rude. Even if the person is being rude to you, I'm going to be courteous and professional so that I can try to get through this as painlessly, efficiently as possible. And just as he said, Miss Johnson, that sort of thing, call it not, you know, you dumb nigra, as we heard before, and making up goofy titles and all of that. Just, I'm going to be courteous, thank this person for their time and all of that. I found that that works very well in a work environment. I think also, and even before we got to all of that, with the identification, like, man, it's probably going to be all kinds of incidents of that nature for the foreseeable future. And all I can say is, hey, I think that's black self-respect. Like, I think everybody, we should all be very comfortable setting boundaries for our personal safety. If that means, I don't care what you made, what kind of cake, pie, cobbler, cupcake, donut that you made at home and brought in for the office, I'm good. If that means that I need to put my, you know, grubby paws all over your license or wallet or whatever it is, and I don't feel, or I feel some type of way about that, hey, this is my health and safety, and things are just, it's way too many questions about everything right now. If I feel that this is best for me, you don't need to, you know, be pawing all over this. You can look at it. Black self-respect, I think, is best. Do what you think is in your best personal interest. That's going to be in the interest of your safety and health. So I say bravo to that. But it's probably going to be lots of incidents like that where, you know, people are kind of, I need to touch this, or I need to do that, or whatever the case is. And, you know, I don't feel like that's asking too much. Like, if it's a license, like, you should be able to look at that. Like, I think a lot of folks, they have those like plastic protector type deals, you know, that you can wear around your neck or even have in your wallet or whatever, if you care, in your purse, so that for just that reason, so that people don't have to put their paws all over your documentation. They can see it. You can read whatever information you need. You said she didn't even look at it for like, you know, 30 seconds or whatever. And then she was on to whatever else the task was. So that I would say that might even be something to think about. If people know they're in environments where they're having to whip out some sort of identification to get through, you know, different buildings or get access to things, to maybe have it in something plastic like that, even in a plastic thing in your wallet, so that you don't have to take that wallet out or the ID out. You can minimize some of people's thumbprints on your material, perhaps. Let's see. But the courtesy, can't emphasize that enough. Courtesy, even after you have to get through the rough patch, just I consider that a part of professionalism, and just trying to get through incidents as painlessly as possible, really. But A plus on the professionalism, courtesy, especially with another non-white person victim of racism. And the personal effects, that was the one I knew I forgot. Man, VGQ, Victims Guaranteed Qualified, and I agree with you 1,000%. I have done way worse things in a work environment. I just said this week, the documentary film Untold, The Malice in the Palace, about the 2004 brawl between the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons basketball team, Ron Artest and all that. They had a documentary on that this week, and I said I talked about that in the workplace with multiple white people, and it was horrible. Every time, I don't know what I thought was going to happen, constructive, or why I was bringing this up in the workplace. We didn't work a recreational facility or basketball, anything like that. And I could think of a whole bunch more, like tons of them, how much time we got. So I've done way worse things than having, and I did that too. I had a candy dish and everything. Than that. All of that said, exactly what he was talking about. If you're going to have like things that I've talked about before, like birthday cards, funeral or sympathy cards for someone who passed away, that type of thing, pictures of your offspring or if you have a care maid or whatever. I'm just of the opinion, as he said, that's a lot of personal information. Racists are already super nosy. If you're leaving all of that stuff there, and so you go to lunch, or you leave it there and you go home, certainly you're not there all day long. You go home, you know, anybody, slide through, take, you know, pictures of all the stuff that you got on your desk, family members, you got their names and stuff there, and they got all the facial recognition technology at this point. Like, I don't even think I would have been thinking about it in that way. Like, wow, that's a lot of extra information that you just have sprawled all over your desk. I'm a big advocate of only having the things that you need to perform your job. That's it. Nothing else. Just what you need to perform your job. And then it shouldn't be a whole lot of like personal identifying information. Shouldn't have like your relatives and things on the stapler, that type of a thing. Certainly not having pictures and photos from your latest vacation. Like, not, these are not your homies that you're working with. These are people who, in fact, if they look at your desk and see that it looks like you might be having too much fun and you and your family were out, you know, at a national park this past weekend, like, oh, need to get this nigga written up. You know, they're doing too much, you know. VGQ. Let's see. Other folks, any other comments that they want to make sure, questions, comments, observations that they share? Folks are spectating or getting their thoughts together. We'll double check. Again, we should be here tomorrow. Compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. As I said, there should be at least one segment talking about the bogus vaccine cards at the collegiate level. I'm sure it's beyond that, but I mean the collegiate level, because that's, you know, you got a lot of the younger folks, so they're going to be very tech and computer savvy to get these sort of quality versions of these documents. I don't even think it's that deep. That's the other thing. I don't think this is anything that's like counterfeiting a $20 bill. I don't think it's that deep. They don't have any sort of 3D strip or anti-counterfeiting mechanism in the vaccine cards. I think this is pretty low tech. So, but anyway, that should be tomorrow. In addition to, it's been a myriad of reports. I can't emphasize enough the violence. Like, wow, like all of this confusion and upheaval in the workplace and having people confused about what's going to happen on the job, and are the vaccines going to be required? Are the tests going to be required? Is the test going to be accurate? Am I going to have to give a blood sample? Am I going to be fired if I don't get a jab? And just on and on and on with all, you know, the rest. Is there going to be another shutdown? And is school going to be messed up? Is my child going to be safe? And all that, just having everybody under that sort of stress for an infinite amount of time, that does have a huge impact on mental health. Not that people were healthy before all of this happened, but I mean, wow, you talk about deterioration, and then to have a lot of firearms in that environment, like, man, super, super dangerous. I would still be very mindful in talking about safety. I can't emphasize that word enough, safety in the workplace. Even the person who was talking about, who wrote in, who was talking about a white person and a black person, they make these crude racist, I don't even, jokes, so-called, you know, dumb nigger this and, you know, stupid cracker that and all that. Say, I would bring that up as safety, because exactly what happened, somebody finally went off about this commentary, which is not professional or appropriate for the workplace anyway, and it's unsafe. That's the exact way I would approach all of that. This conduct can produce a potentially unsafe environment, and it's certainly unprofessional. Do you think we can do better in promoting a safe, non-toxic, professional work environment? Come back to a question. That's the way that I would approach all of that, to get all of that. I wouldn't care if it's white people or non-white people talking in that manner. It's not professional. And I would just, and you could even bring it up with them. Like, do you all talk this way with everybody? When the CEO comes down here, when your supervisor, is he a stupid cracker too? And if you don't, why is it that we are the only ones that have to listen to this, and the rest of the individuals, especially if they're more powerful, they don't have to hear all this? You don't talk to them that way. They, hey, I mean, maybe they like a joke too, right? Why are they being deprived of the humor? If this is really something constructive that's helping our work day and we get some giggles in, that helps the time goes by. If that's the case, then you should share with everybody, right? If that's not the case, then no. Equal protection. Treat everybody the same way. If you don't tell these jokes and giggle and talk that way when the boss comes by and the person who signs our check, then I don't want to be talked that way either. Unsafe, unprofessional. Keep going back to the same ones. But we'll be here tomorrow for neutralizing or compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Probably have some more info on the vaccine mandates as well. We are in our second heat advisory, at least in Seattle. I forgot I was going to say something about that at the beginning of the program and just got lost in the shuffle. But it is not 105 degrees and 110 like it was in June. But it was a pretty robust, I think like 90-something today. It's been like right at 90, 93 most of the week. Again, not like, you know, death heat, but for these parts where the average temperature in August daytime high average is 77, 93 is substantially warmer than what we are accustomed to, but making it through nonetheless. Tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, I will check in again, see if any folks have anything else they need to get in today, any other comments, observations, folks all satisfied. Any other questions, suggestions folks want to share?
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. There was another thing that I noticed with some of the change in behaviors in the office. I can just tell to where, once again, I think the unjust networking is occurring. Like they've had some kind of meeting or something about how, well, we need to make sure that we are trying to be more, I guess, courteous or nice to me or whatever, because I've been speaking out
and I'm going silent, and I come in and, you know, I help the customers and I do my job and everything. So, the supervisor, I notice sometimes at the end of the day, when we are all walking to the time clock, it's like she'll either say good night, everyone, and then that'll be activated by like me walking past where her office is, then she'll say it, or we'll all be standing at the time clock and she'll say good night, everyone, and then say good night, my name individually after that, like single my name out after saying good night, everyone. So that was one that I was thinking about right there. And that's pretty much all I wanted to share.
Let me get a raise. Like, you don't have to give me no individual shout outs. You don't have to put me in the newsletter again. Like, you don't have to get everybody to come in and leave a half eaten bag of peanut M&Ms on my desk. A raise, extra PTO, extra vacation time. Like, I can think of a whole lot of things. Like, if you all are concerned and, you know, want to make sure that I am shown that I am a valued employee, like, hey, you could just ask, what can we do to show you that you are valued? I have a whole list. I'm so glad you asked. Some of that even could have been just, could you hire another staff member for the segregated section since we were understaffed for so long? That would have been grand. Like, you wouldn't have had to give me anything personally. You wouldn't have had to talk to me. Just hire another staff member in a timely manner so we don't have to be understaffed and overworked in the segregated section. Little things like that. That's how you show worker appreciation, not coming by, always just wanted to make sure we spoke to you. You know, we love you. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's as bad as when all this started last year, when they were, I guess you all are essential employees. I guess they got to have the courthouse open. They were going out and banging skillets on the roof and say, we just love the essential workers so much. We value you so much. I got to bang a pot at 7 in the morning because we love you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get any better than techie. Caller in Florida. Any of the other folks who are with us? Let's see. Caller at 0620 with us as well.
I may be heard, Gus.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Gus. I have a question. I have a question, and I would like some help because my supervisor, he's a victim of white supremacy also. And his supervisor is a race soldier, and there's another race soldier supervisor there. So he told me, he trusts me in confidence. He said that his boss, which is one of the race soldier, want him to show the other race soldier all of his job, you know, his job duties. And he said that he's kind of worried that they're setting him up. So he showed this one race soldier everything, and then the other race soldier has, you know, have this guy take over for him. So he asked me what he should do. But my advice to him, I said, look, I don't want to discuss this stuff on the job. I said, but if you want, I could meet you at the McDonald's across the street or across from the job, and we could discuss it. So that's what I did. I met him at the McDonald's across town, and I kind of gave him, he told me what was going on, and he also told me that
one of the race soldiers got the race soldier that wants to learn his job, he put in for a license to do a certain type of work. But now that he got the license, he don't want to do the work, but the district paid him for that license in order to do that work. But he just got the license, but he don't want to do the work, but he wants to collect the pay for the work. So he told me all this is going on. So I would just like the listeners, you know, to assist me of how to advise the victim so as not to get harmed. So, you know, I would really, really appreciate it if you guys could give me some ideas of what to tell this victim, because I told him I wouldn't show the race soldier anything. I will let him find out everything by himself, because the minute he shows this guy everything, then he is expendable and he's gone. So if any of your guests could help me out on that end and give me some advice so I could discuss with that other victim, I'll really appreciate it. And that's all I have, Gus. Thanks.
Much obliged, sir. Let's see. That, I believe, Mo in Dallas. Yes, sir.
I have a couple of my own personal scenarios, but first, in response to the previous caller, believe it or not, I personally myself was sequestered to actually type out a job task that my superiors were demanding of me in lieu of training someone else, a new hire, if you will. So me understanding the position I was in as a victim, I understood that if I, one, denied or in any form refused this act, then I could have been deemed undesirable or uncooperative or uninformed. It was kind of, I was kind of obligated into typing out these procedures, which I already knew. And I had to understand that, like, I'm doing this because it is my job. Like, I'm here to do what I'm told. And I would recommend the same thing to the victim that the previous caller knows. He was hired and he's getting paid to do his job. And if he can't show anyone how to do his job, they might be able to, that might create a new problem, because there may be a rumor that he doesn't know how to do his job, and that could easily turn into he's in the way or taking up time. So I would say if what he's being requested to do is actually, a job requirement, or it has to do with him validating that he can execute his job task, I recommend he do it, because in my opinion, even if that race soldier gets trained, I doubt that he will immediately take over that that victim's job. They might want for the race soldier to know for the future. You know, and with that being said, you might want to look into filling out other applications or something of that sort. But definitely do not do your job. That is a recipe for creating more problems. And my scenarios, I in lieu of me typing my work procedures for the new hire, I work with a white male, and he is very, very, very outspoken. He's so outspoken that he has a track record, at least in the company, when he deems someone undesirable, he will start email campaigns and document their mistakes and errors and as a method to get them replaced or fired or reprimanded in some capacity. I've noticed with this new hire, white male, he does the complaining. He still does the verbal complaining on the floor, but it stops there. I've seen no emails about this younger white male, like he did for other non-white victims, male and female. And I thought it was very interesting and noteworthy. I was in the restroom at my place of employment, my plantation, and I saw the plant. I guess he would be manager. He's like the boss of everybody. And we're familiar enough to where he knows my name, and I guess he's important enough to where I'm supposed to know his. So I do. So I spoke, and there was a spill. So I was kind of in the restroom looking for a wet floor sign because I stepped in the puddle. And since he's in here and I already had it in my mind, I was like, well, I was going to do it either way. So this might help me build up Browning points. I look, find the sign, and he sees me. It took about 60 seconds, a minute and a half. And he was like, hey, what you doing? And I was like, oh, and that was a spill. You know, you were near it. I'm just trying to, you know, keep down near misses and all of that. Because I was literally doing this task before he came in there. And he didn't acknowledge the task. He didn't say anything about that. His comment was, you can't wear that mask here. You have to wear the paper mask that hurt your ears and that are cheap and break. And or one that doesn't cover your entire... I had a cloth mask on. And it covered my entire neck and face. He that was his response to my efforts, and I immediately wanted to put my wet floor sign away. I was telling myself this is wrong. I'm not a custodian. I should have just told him there was a spill and walked out of the restroom. Shouldn't even said hi. But that was me being uncodified. Thank you. I'm in my line.
Much obliged, Mo in Dallas. The suggestions and the personal anecdotes. I don't think that's being uncodified. And I mean, you said you were doing that before he got there. Like, I think that's safety. Some idiot mentions safety all the time. Like, hey, we got a spill. You stepped in and it could have slipped. I mean, that's common workplace injury result. People slipping in some sort of puddle and falling, that type of a thing. A lot of workman comp there. So I think that's no problem there. Workplace safety, just we get tack. And man, second time today, like black people getting in trouble. That's not the authorized mask. We doing wearing that mask. Take that mask. Like, dang, like what kind of, whoo, that is just the system of racism, white supremacy. Like you can be doing the correct thing. I'm looking out for your safety. Everybody's safe. This isn't even my job. I'm just trying to pitch in, go the extra mile. And no, just got the wrong mask on. Yes, we'll go get the company-approved mask without the Black Lives Matter insignia. Yes. Did we have any other suggestions for our mail caller? Mo in Dallas said, hey, do your job. They say you got to train them. You got to train them. That might be grounds to fire you or might cause other problems if you don't train this guy, if you've been asked to do so. Do we have any other suggestions for our male caller who dialed in, black or non-white supervisor who's having all these problems?
Gus, can I add one thing about my superior?
Yes, sir.
The mask comment was interesting because I thought nothing of it at the time. I should have put this in my original story, but my direct supervisor, which may be like two tiers below the big guy, came to me and asked me, hey, did you talk to him? And I said, yes. And what did he say to you? And I was like, oh, nothing, you know, hi. And he mentioned my mask. And he said he's going to see about sending out a mask email for the company that, you know, describes what type of mask we're allowed to wear. And my direct boss says, I don't think we have like masks that we're like, you know, specifically like, it's not like the NK95 thing when it first started. Like if your face is covered, you're fine. Yeah. So he told me like not to worry about it, which confused me as well. But that's it. Thank you.
Confusion. That has been the word for 18 months. Confusion. Can you wear the mask? You can't wear the mask. You got to wear the mask. Got to be vaccinated. Don't be vaccinated. Got to be vaccinated and wear a mask. Can't wear this mask. Got to wear a different mask. This mask. Anybody else? Commentary or suggestions for our male caller who dialed in? Maybe folks can think about it. Well, I'll ask again for next week. I will say he also mentioned, in addition to being asked to train, and I think that's important too. If he's asked to do it, you can train him. You certainly don't have to do an A-plus job and going over every tidbit in detail. But, I mean, certainly you can show him this is what the job is. And, again, as I think Mo pointed out, you could get in trouble for not doing so. That's important. But the other component, we was talking about the fellow on the job. I guess he got some sort of certification. They paid for the training, perhaps, which is common for jobs. They'll pay for you to get upgrades and extra training. But now he's got this extra training, but he doesn't want to do the work. He wants to get paid for it, but he doesn't want to do the work. Like, man, that is, I mean, that's the sort of thing like they can, like if they train you for something and then you're messing around, I don't want to do it, or I changed my mind, or I don't like, they can make you compensate them for the training. Like, oh, we paid for this thinking that you were going to do X, Y, and Z. And if you're not going to do that, then we want our money back. Like, I do know that that type of thinking, like if you mess around on the training, if you do that sort of thing and flunk the training, they can do the same thing. So, yeah, like that does not surprise me at all if it's going to be those sort of hijinks all the way through. That's why I say it's always should be observing, documenting, because the criminal conduct of racists abounds. But I agree. I think training the white person or showing them the details, I think that is important. I would say documenting the other incorrect behaviors that are happening. That's important, too. I guess I would also say I think you said you were going to meet with them at the McDonald's. I know some people are of the opinion they don't do any of the I'm not meeting and hanging out and all that. I don't trust the person. Victims guarantee qualified. But the other thing I'll just say quickly, if we were going to meet, I would maybe go further than across the street. Racists can be very nosy sometimes. If it's across the street, that might not quite be far enough for prying eyes. I would maybe try to venture out a little bit further away so that you can be incognito. Make the golden arches. What is it that the sign says? 1 billion hamburgers served a day. So somebody else in the company might want a Big Mac. And what? Yeah, I mean, caller in Florida already told you, like, whoa. Two niggers being together, being courteous, and they're not calling each other niggers, and it's not a shootout. Like, uh-oh, unjust networking time. Anywho, we have done our 3 hours. We will assume folks are good, and we'll catch everyone next week. As I said, I'll ask again about the workplace situation, the black supervisor, and I guess the white person trying to take his job, which is pretty common, and then all the other shenanigans. We'll ask about that at the beginning of the program next week so we can also get some input there. Much obliged for everyone chiming in. Hope it was worthy of your Friday evening. Again, we'll be here tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, the compensatory call-in. We'll catch up on most recent news reports and get some suggestions, thoughts from listeners as well. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. We need high-functioning brain computers to solve our problems. In addition to being sober, if you're going to go out and about, I would say be very alert about what is happening. Just not a time to be too reckless with anything, really. Like, it's super dangerous. And there are lots of folks who are armed. Like, that cannot be minimized. Downplayed. Like, man, if you see somebody out in public who's being hostile, loud, rowdy, you should be thinking like, this person might be armed. In fact, this person may have an entire
entourage, armed, ready to kill, if you didn't leave your residence prepared to die and or take life, exit. It's dangerous, confusing times. Be very alert when you're out in public. If you're driving, not on the cell phone, you are buckled and paying attention as best you can, and we're trying to do the small things that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. All of that said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. No name calling that came up, even from some of the folks who wrote in and what have you. No name calling. This is one of the small things that we can do to try to minimize conflict with other victims of white supremacy. Name calling, no aspect of that helps replace white supremacy with justice. Gossiping, that doesn't help either. Cows signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.